popularize the recommendations from that. And then, given the fact that they've got many complaints that pertain to GBV, we just need to find out from commissioners how are they dealing in provinces with the provincial secretariat of police, as well as a civilian secretariat of police, because those are the structures in provinces that engage and deal with GBV complaints for police specifically. So members, just in summary, that gives us some of the key matters pertaining to the CGE. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Kashifa. Honorable members, any clarity-seeking question? Honorable Sharif?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all the members. I just have a question for Kashifa regarding the emergency reaction plan. Surely, even though that has been completed and been replaced with the National Strategic Plan, surely the CGE still has the basis to be able to monitor and evaluate that six-month plan and come back to us and let us know how that went. My question is the report to the President exactly the information the CGE is looking for, or is the CGE looking for information that perhaps the departments are not so willing to give? I just want to just find out about that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Sharif. I think you're correct. And it's exactly the question we had. Yes, the CGE should be looking at what happened in terms of that six-month plan. So they would have their own assessment. But it's also important to see, based on their own assessment and how that corresponds to the report that was presented to the President. So what was similar, what was different, and what were the anomalies? And I think we need to establish that from the CGE. So yes, it's important. But as we conclude that, there's also a movement to the National Strategic Plan. So it's both matters that are important. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members and Kashifa Tussell. Thank you. We can now, I think it's already 9:08, and hopefully the CGE have joined the meeting. Can someone check for me if they are in?
We've just accepted them to join the meeting.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Chef, before by join meeting.
Okay, ma.
Again.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm again.
Yeah, I'm being a little in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Ngibonge u-researcher wethu. But kodwa ngibe ngiyocela ukuthi ngelinye ilanga ke sibhekelele lezi nkinga lezi ezikhona ezinye ezibheka njengoba kade sibona no-cutting edge. Ukuthi ngempela leya nto ayingeni ningaphansi kwe-gender kwe-GBV iy'nkinga ezikhona. Okwamanje ngizongime bengithi njengo-researcher kunezinto la ngizafuna ke siyibheke ukuze silwisane nale nto le e-GBV. Ukuthi njengo-researcher wethu yini ayibonayo ukuthi laba fana bayenze, ngoba ngempela uma uthi uyabheka lana u-CGE kukhona, kodwa uma uthi uyabheka kasabalele iy'ndawo zonke. La kubheka khona emakhaya iy'nkinga nemisuka yakhona ukuthi yini. Yingakho Chairperson ngibe nale nto uthi yabona indaba yokukhuluma kakhulu ibuye ingibangela inkinga ne-headache. ezinye izinto bengithi ngelinye ilanga kuyofuneka ke u-researcher wethu ephalamende ngiyabathanda bahle and bakhombe isithanda umsebenzi kodwa ke bebheka ukuthi usale yini emakhaya ubheka izinto like njengezinto ezenzeka ku-Eastern Cape like izinto ezenzeka le komakhaya KZN kakhulukazi KZN nalana-ke ekhayelitsha ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi bangalo besitshela ngezinto otholayo ukuthi abakwazi ukuzenza bakhuluma izinto ezama-theory. It's not a time ukuthi sikhuluma indaba ye-theory manje Jefferson. Ngiyabonga.
Thank you very much mama. Thank you honorable members. Good morning everyone. I welcome you all. I declare this meeting officially open. We are welcoming you, Commissioner. I don't see who is here. I take it that the chair and the deputy chair, they are here, and all commissioners from CGE, except one commissioner, Advocate Tabiseng Mokgale, who will join us late due to other commitments. And this is the only apology that I have from Uneliswa. I know Kuti, she's attending some public hearings where in the portfolio committee on justice. Honorable members, we are invited by the portfolio committee of justice and correctional services for our public hearings on the three bills that they are dealing with and on issues of gender-based violence and femicide. So organizations and civil society and individuals who have made submissions are invited to come and make their oral submission today. So Commissioner Mokgale is part of the delegation that is making submissions on in that portfolio committee today. Hopefully even ourselves, we can join them when we're done with our portfolio committee, because the hearings are today up until 1, if I'm not mistaken, because we have a sitting today at 2. They are today and maybe Friday and next week again. Because on Wednesday, they've cancelled the ones that are were supposed to take place on Wednesday, and they will reschedule others on when are they going to make their oral presentation. And then those were the only two apologies. There's no other apology that I have from my side. I don't know from CGE if they're here.
I just wanted to ask you, when was that information sent about the public hearing? Because I may have
yesterday.
Will the minister be able to send it to us so that we can get information on this?
Didn't you send to yourself?
I did not receive it, but I may have missed it.
Yeah, she sent. They sent it yesterday. And I also told the chair that you are having a meeting at the same time. But we'll join them when we're done. Neliswa, you must send to members if you didn't send to them.
Will do, Chair.
Chairperson, I'm just going through my email and I have not received it.
Yeah, she will send it to you now. Because I thought yesterday she sent it to you. Let's go to the presentation. CBCDE.
Chairperson, good morning. We are here. Am I audible, Chair?
Yeah,
oh, thank you very much, Chair. Let me start with apologies, Chair, which we received late yesterday. I have an apology from Commissioner Sidiko Rakolote, who, due to commitments, will not be able to join us, but will join us a little bit late today. He has commitments now in the morning. I have another apology of Commissioner Ohara Ngomadiseko, who is on sick leave, so she won't be able to join us this morning, Chair. I think those are other apologies, Chair, that I would like to register to you this morning. Can we continue, Chair?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Greetings to you, Chairperson, Honorable Chair, Honorable Whip, and esteemed members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you again for inviting us to the committee to come and present to this committee our first quarterly report in the form of a narrative or progress report against set activities of the CGE, as well as set targets as enshrined in our 2020-2021 annual performance plan. We are also bringing a report, a financial management report, which will be looking at the income versus expenditure based on the allocations received for this particular financial year. We will also be presenting on the Commissioner's interventions in line with our four critical strategic objectives in the multi-annual strategic plan and our CGE annual performance plan. Honorable Chair and members, the reporting requirements and accountability that we are doing today is in line with Section 181 of the Constitution, as well as Section 15, subsection 1 of the CGE Act, number 39 of 1996, as amended. And it's also in line with the Public Financial Management Act, number 1 of 1999. Chair, I'm accompanied by a group of commissioners. Most of us are here this morning. I'm with the Secretariat in the form of the Acting CEO, as well as the Chief Financial Officer, CFO, who will actually provide a substantive information or report on the overall commissioner's performance during the first quarter of 2020-2021 financial period. The first quarterly report or reporting period or this particular reporting period under review, Chairperson, we are reporting from the period 1st April 2020 to June 30th, 2020, and this period, Chair, coincides with the national lockdown level 5 and level 4. And I must also just say that these particular levels were put by government in order to flatten the COVID-19 curve. Like many institutions, Chairperson, and other Chapter 9s who were also listed as an essential service, we were able to actually adapt our strategy in order to implement our annual performance plan under the lockdown period. And this we did by making sure that we employ certain mechanisms such as using virtual internal as well as external meetings with stakeholders and with ourselves. We also used electronic and print media to reach and educate and raise awareness with the public. In as so far as sexual gender-based violence is concerned, but also we also made sure that people are able to access services during this time. Whilst at the same time, we were monitoring closely all the interventions and observing cases that we received that were in relation to violation of human rights, as well as gender-related discrimination, including access to social judicial system. In terms of annual budget, Honorable Chair, our allocations were as follows. Initially, our budget was at 89.861 million, and we have since been subjected to national budget adjustments, and the total amount has been now reduced to 79.561 million. And we continue to implement with the budget the implementation of the APP. And the CFO will actually be able to give a narrative on how we have used our budget and our tranche that has been allocated to us for the first quarter of the new financial year. I would like to pause there, Chair, and with your permission, hand over to our CEO, acting CEO, to actually take us through the narrative report with your permission. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee. I just want to share the screen quickly with the presentation, if that is in order.
Acting CEO.
Yes, Chair.
Why did you submit a report that was not of the right, with the right information put in the right place?
So are you referring to strategic objective 4?
Yes.
Chair, I went back to see what you usually presented to the portfolio committee, and that is what I saw. I do apologize for the oversight. I will, when the new CEO starts, also then just notify her that strategic objective 4 must be included as well.
Continue.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Chair, the reporting period focuses on the assessing of activities were undertaken during the beginning of the financial year. The report highlights the achievements or attainments of targets against what was planned for the period in the APP, as well as the overall functioning of the institution. For the reporting period, primarily the focus was on drafting concept notes and guiding documents for the work that has to be rolled out by provinces and departments for the financial year. Work was done to put measures in place to ensure smooth rollout of processes and identification of risk and putting risk registers and related action plans in place. The national lockdown was implemented during the start of quarter one, which then also had an impact on the performance of the CTE. This means changing of strategies in implementing the APP. Mechanisms such as virtual meetings and the use of media became critical to ensure that the organization implements its targets. Chair, as for the request, we've drawn a link between the SONA, the NDP, MTSF, and the CGE program, which can be seen on the screen. In terms of, if we look at MTSF and NDP, building a capable and developmental state, the CEGE programs are compliant with international and regional agreements relating to gender equality, example, CEDAW, the Maputo Protocol, and the like. Economic transformation and job creation. The CGE has programs relating to gender transformation, which focuses on TVET, public and private institutions. The shelter report, where we look at enabling and sustaining women empowerment, especially in our research part as well, women economic empowerment, and then our gender mainstreaming programs for PEI as well. If we look at education, skills and health, we do advocacy outreach and legal clinics. We also have systemic investigations into forced sterilizations, community radio programs and social media campaigns. If we look at social protection, the consolidating of social wage through reliable and quality basic services, in that regard, we can also refer to our shelter investigations where we are currently tracking and following up on implementations on the findings and recommendations of our previous reports. Then lastly, social cohesion and safe communities. This relates to the legislative submissions that we make, as well as complaints handling, our investigations, and also the country's response to GBV. Then, Chair, just a quick overview of our strategic objectives. I've just put a slide to indicate the four strategic objectives and which is then the sub-strategy. For the current reporting period, 71% of the plan target has been reached. It should be noted that as much as 100% finalization of targets is ideal, the biggest contributor is the fact that lockdown as per the Disaster Management Act was implemented in quarter one, which was level 5 initially, which hampered our activities. In some instances, we had to find alternative ways to implement targets. And since the commencement of the lockdown due to the pandemic, the Commission received numerous complaints and inquiries regarding gender-based violence, regulations which pertain to access to sanitary pads and baby clothes and a lack of healthcare services for women to exercise their reproductive health rights. Despite the regulation stipulating that sanitary pads were essential goods under level 5, the Commission did receive complaints that supermarkets such as Spar and ShopRite, especially in the Limpopo area, had apparently classified sanitary pads as non-essential goods. We then engaged the supermarkets and subsequent to the engagements, women were able to purchase the sanitary products. The Commission also received an influx of complaints during the lockdown level about new mothers that being unable to purchase baby clothes at clothing shops after giving birth. The Commission then also engaged the relevant ministers in this regard, and baby clothes then formed part of essential goods. It was included. As an overview, Fiji also ended as amicus curiae in an application of the DA versus the President that relates to whether the minister should use race, gender and disability as areas of prioritization in the allocation of funds. This is now in relation to the lockdown assistance of businesses. The DA then indicated that the use of gender as a consideration in the allocation of relief is unlawful, and the application was dismissed with cost. Also, a joint collaboration between Fiji and the Human Rights Commission that relates to the judgment by the Federal Supreme Court that relates to Casa Semenya. Certain strategies have been undertaken in conjunction with the Human Rights Commission. Chair, just as a brief background, the IAAF in 2018 issued eligible regulations on female classifications for events for 400 meters to the mile, which then included 400 meters hurdles, 800 meters, and 1,500 meter events. Casa Semenya attempted to challenge the regulations at the Court of Arbitration of Sports, or CAS, which is based in Switzerland. The case was unsuccessful and it was dismissed on the basis that the regulations are discriminatory, but that on the basis of the evidence submitted by the parties, the discrimination is necessary, reasonable and proportionate. Since the decision of the case is subject to the appellate jurisdiction of the Swiss Federal Supreme Court, an appeal was then lodged against the findings of case to the Swiss Federal Supreme Court. The court decision at the time of quarter one was pending, however, it is out now and it's found against Costa Semenya's case. And CGE is then collaborating with Human Rights Commission to take the matter forward. So there's active work that's being undertaken where we support her legal challenge, where we work with Norton Rose Fulbright, who's the attorneys of records on the IAS regulations. We've issued joint media statements. We are planning to engage the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture jointly. We jointly want to engage the National Assembly through the portfolio committees of sports, arts and culture, as well as the committee responsible for DIRCO and the portfolio committee that we are currently appearing before, of course, and then also support the case before the court. We want to jointly lobby academia and civil society organizations, jointly utilize the United Nations Human Rights Treaty system to highlight the issues at hand, to jointly utilize the African Union Treaty system, and to encourage the South African government working with CGE and the Human Rights Commission to utilize and leverage on the UN special procedures to issue press releases on the importance of this. Then, lastly, on this slide, we've developed an advocacy strategy for raising awareness on the essential services of the CGE during the lockdown. It was followed by guidelines on content with a focus on human rights and call to action for audiences during the lockdown. The Commission has engaged with Government Communications and Information Systems, or GCIS, to find ways of making community radio stations available for CGE to communicate during the lockdown. Chair Disable then just presents the achieved targets versus the predetermined objectives, where it is noted that 71% of the targets have been reached. If we look at strategic objective one, our quarterly target in relation to submissions is 4 submissions on new and proposed legislation. We've made submissions on the guidelines on gender and identity and sexual orientation in public schools, as well as the draft public procurement bill. There's 2 outstanding bills, which will then be caught up in quarter 2. There should be a consolidated report on the engagement with Parliament on a quarterly basis on the submissions that has been made. Unfortunately, CG has not been called to Parliament to engage on the submissions in quarter 1.
What does that mean?
For example, the Portfolio Committee on Justice that has called CGE to present on the GBV bills. Once we then present, we compile a report on the presentation that we've made and that we've called, but in quarter 1, we have not been called to make submissions on bills that we submitted to Parliament, Chair.
No, that's not true. You CGE can't hide behind us. You can't hide behind the Portfolio Committee when you have failed to do your job. You can't. That one is not totally not acceptable. If you are doing your job and you are ready to present your report to Parliament, you know exactly what you must do. How come that you were able to tell us that you are not ready to submit your first quarter report, but now when you claim to have completed something and then you say it's us who have not called you to Parliament? There's no such. There's never been such a reason. No, that one. I'm speaking on behalf of the Portfolio Committee representing the committee, rightfully so. There is no such. Where you did not do justice to your work, you must just accept your failures. And don't say Parliament what, because any time when you are done with anything, yours is to come to Parliament and make your presentation. Ours is to apply to Parliament for an extra meeting for that thing, for that presentation. So that one, it's something that is new.
Okay, thank you to your comments.
It's either you have something to tell us, whether you have drafted any bill of whether we have monitored or whether we have done your job, not us. Tina, we schedule our meetings according to what we need and according to the program of Parliament. But Nina, it's your right. The same way you were able to say, you are not ready, you are requesting an extension and so forth, we granted you the same way you do with other things. So that one, it's null and void. It's not your reason. You must tell us the right reason, whether we have done this thing or we have not done it. You can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Your comment is noted and we will take it forward. When we talk about this specific target, it relates to the submissions. Say, for example, when a specific portfolio committee calls for a submission on a current bill or legislation that needs to be amended. That portfolio committee will call you specifically to come and present on your on your submission, and that is what we refer to. But your comments are noted, Chair, and we take it to heart and we will take it forward.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. The next target is a project plan, which should then outline the processes relating to investigations, findings, and recommendations that speaks to a national gender transformation framework. In this regard, we are talking about the TVET colleges. A project plan was drafted and implemented with the recommendations, and where we call the entities to make submissions on the implementation of the recommendations, as well as our plan for calling new entities. The next target is a consolidated report on the implementation of findings and recommendations of the previous year's gender transformation report. Under this target, the quarter one target was a project plan which outlines the processes and timeframes regarding the findings and the recommendations. This project plan was drafted for the implementation of the recommendations for the previous financial year, but we are also calling new entities in this year. The next target is the stakeholder engagement on the findings and recommendations of the SDG reports of the previous financial year. Chair, this could not take place due to the COVID-19 lockdown, but the activity was caught up in quarter two. The next target is the stakeholder engagement on the findings and recommendations of the Maputo Protocol report for the previous financial year. The engagement once again could not take place in quarter one due to the lockdown, but it has been caught up in quarter two. Then, Chair, if we look at the strategic objectives too, there's 36 gender mainstreaming interventions for the annual performance target, a project plan to outline the gender mainstreaming interventions with timelines, and 9 gender mainstreaming interventions must be conducted. The provinces have made contact with at least 2 municipalities requesting the IDPs to assess. The assessment is guided by an audit tool that is developed by the department to see if the IDPs are gender responsive. The assessment undertaken will be sent to the municipality for further input and for interventions. And some of the key issues will be discussed in the following slide, Chair. In terms of just to add to the gender mainstreaming, sorry, Chair. Some of these objectives is to promote the use of gender mainstreaming in planning and budgeting and implementation, monitoring and evaluation of the public service at local government level, and also to establish key strategic partnerships in the community development issues at local government. So the guiding document, as indicated, has been drafted. In terms of the radio slots, the community radio slot project plan and 18 slots must be implemented. The department, in collaboration with communications, developed a community radio strategy and a plan for 2020-21. The script was produced for the unit on the national lockdown, and CDE as an essential service was being promoted during the pandemic in quarter one. The department then also endeavored to procure slots through GCIS. The department facilitated the procurement of 18 slots through GCIS, but it could not materialize before the end of June, as GCIS was also impacted by the pandemic. But we've nonetheless tried to obtain slots via the department with community radio stations ourselves. GCIS have, however, undertook to ensure that these slots will be made available at some point to us. A total of 26 community radio slots that then take place in the last quarter. In terms of the social media complaints, a project plan was developed and social media advocacy material was developed. CDE as an essential services during the COVID pandemic was then as one of the campaigns where we indicated what types of services we render, and the second one was done in collaboration with the SABC on the Human Rights Month. Chair, just briefly to indicate the issues that is raised during the gender mainstreaming interventions that has been done. Municipalities have not included gender transformation principles and objectives in most of its policies and plans. For example, the performance management plans, the human resources policies and supply chain policies, does not go through the IDP planning processes. The plans and policies of municipalities were mostly outdated. Some were in draft form, and there was no evidence of council approving the policies. The location of the gender focal person in the political office of the municipality is not assisting the municipality because the advice and support of this person is needed in both the internal and external operations of the municipality. There is a lack of gender transformation objectives and performance outcomes for municipal directors and managers, including the municipal manager. Municipalities lack commitment to give feedback on the assessment tool. Some municipalities are coalition municipalities, and there's been internal challenges which then also hamper the progress for the CGE. They are concerned they might not obtain information from all departments, and then generally there's been insufficient resources, both human and financial capital, to kickstart the gender mainstreaming in the municipalities that has been identified. There's not been adequate implementation on gender mainstreaming programs internally in municipalities. The next slide is a representation on the radio stations for the quarter and the listenership. Chair, the next target is the outreach, advocacy and legal clinic. For the target, it's supposed to be 18 outreach clinics as per our project plan. 13 advocacy, legal and outreach clinics was done by legal and PEI. The table that is attached then also will give an overview of which clinics were run in the province. And due to the lockdown, the outreach and legal clinics were conducted through radio slots and webinars, so there was not face-to-face clinics. Just to talk about the themes for the legal clinics, in view of the scourge of gender-based violence, the clinics focused on GBV and sexual offences. It was to educate listeners about the concept of GBV and sexual offences conducted that constitutes gender-based violence, sexual offences, and procedures to follow to report gender-based violence or sexual offences matters. Communities generally expressed their concern over the rise of GBV in South Africa. Then, Chair, the next target is 9 strategic engagements with like-minded organisations to promote gender equality. A guiding document was drafted and shared. Each province was then expected to implement at least one stakeholder engagement. All provinces conducted virtual meetings on GBV, and the Western Cape held the stakeholder engagements with the provincial gender machinery. Effective management of relationship with stakeholders is crucial in resolving issues facing organisations. Then share just some of the key issues raised. The lockdown hampered service delivery, especially where the courts were not rendering services and there was no plans put in place by court services to render essential services. There's major gaps in the efficiency of law enforcement, especially SAPs, where there's informal settlement, there's no visible policing. SAPs are conducting monitoring on compliance with COVID-19 regulations, but cases of domestic violence are then left behind and does not receive priority attention. Community members are not aware of remote means to report violence without the perpetrator being aware. The lack of public transportation has been a challenge, especially where victims are in far-flung areas and they cannot access the departments for the services rendered. There's a need for the increased capacity and resourcing of community health workers who conduct home testing for COVID-19 so that they can also then assess the safety levels in homes and to identify any person who may be at risk or be a victim of GBV. NGOs are a time aware of incidents of abuse in certain homes, but they're not able to act due to not being an essential service. Department of Justice limited some services because of matters relating to civil and family matters that were not being properly handled. Maintenance cases, communities were very frustrated because they could not access their funds. Members of the LGBTIQA+ community continue to face discrimination when they report cases of domestic violence. High unemployment rates or lack of income on women identified as one of the main causes of GBV. all VEPs depend on SAPS for transportation of victims, but SAPS usually has issues with vehicles and are not always able to assist. Other organizations indicated that they have support from SAPS and DSD, but some also then indicated that they receive very minimal support from DSD, especially during the lockdown. Okay. And the next target is the monitoring reports on findings and recommendations of systemic investigations. For the quarterly target, a project plan had to be drafted on the monitoring of the findings and recommendations of the systemic investigations that was conducted in the previous financial year. In terms of shelters, the project plan was drafted and the concept notes and operational plans were developed. The findings and recommendations have been shared with the parties during the quarter, and we are currently following up on this process. In terms of the forced sterilization investigation, 30 new complaints were lodged with us since the launch of the report. Consultations have taken place, and we are in the process of obtaining medical records and doing the groundwork to look into the matters. There's also ongoing work with the Department of Health in this regard. In terms of complaints, Chair, the legal department opened 118 complaints during the quarter. And the slide is just an outline on the nature of complaints that we've received during the lockdown period, especially for quarter one. Okay, this is just a visual display on the set of the complaints that we've received for the quarter. As you can see, gender-based violence is the majority of complaints. CGE resolve complaints through the engagements with the various ministers, as indicated previously, relating to the sale of baby clothing and essential services in terms of reproductive health rights. The Commission then also resolved gender discriminatory matters through the engagement with the chains that did not sell sanitary products. Gender-based violence matters were mostly pending at courts, but we monitored the matter and we've taken up issues with court managers where necessary. Most of the complaints that we've received relate to gender-based violence, sexual offence and gender discriminatory practices. GBV has been in the spotlight since the onset of the lockdown, and it's also evident in the complaints that has been submitted to the CGE. During the period, we observed an alarming increase of reported cases where women, children and elderly persons were raped, murdered and assaulted. The Commission has assisted victims of GBV to access shelters safely and to obtain protection orders where it is necessary. One of the issues that has been raised by some of the shelters were that people are not allowed to be admitted if they are without the COVID testing. Which on the other hand creates a problem where a person needs immediate shelter and protection from a GBV situation. Access to healthcare services was also a challenge in this period. If we just look at the access to justice, where the cases will be monitored, access to justice was affected by COVID-19, and then it also resulted in most matters being postponed to an ADA, which means in the far future with no specific date. The closure of the courts due to COVID-19 infections also resulted in delay of dealing with GBV matters. Rotation of court officials such as clerks of the courts further added delays in the opening of the protection order matters. Survivors of gender-based violence further experienced challenges in accessing shelters, as I previously explained. We also observed that shelters did not accept survivors who do not have a COVID-19 negative test. Unemployment increased during COVID-19 as a result of job losses and the impact on parents' ability to provide for their children. It is anticipated that we will receive more complaints relating to child maintenance matters. It is tried that access to justice is an essential element to the SDG 16 and further crucial to implement the other SDG goals, including but not limited goal 5. Which then states that women who often face multiple forms of discrimination, violence, and sexual harassment are particularly affected by the exclusion. And Chair, if we look at strategic objective 3, the first target is the status report on the country's response to addressing and combating GBV, taking into account the new commitments made by the government. So the quarterly target is a project plan on identifying the issues and the institutions that needs to be monitored. Then, Chair, in 2018-19, the Department of Women in the Presidency introduced a draft gender-responsive budgeting framework, and it should be adopted and implemented by all government and national departments as of 2020. The project that we're undertaking will then examine and analyze the framework and assess the progress in the framework's implementation across government departments at national level. In the first quarter, the department did draft and complete the project concept document, identifying and specifying key departments to be assessed. The project work plan with the project timelines was drafted and completed, and currently research field work is undertaken. The next target is an assessment report on this on 6 months GBV emergency response plan. This is an APP that is concerned with assessing progress in the implementation of the presidential ERAP in line with the plan and its stated targets and objectives. It will be a desk-based exercise to determine the extent to which the responsibilities and activities outlined in the plan have been discharged or carried out and the output or targets set out to achieve. During this quarter, the research department reviewed the government's report on the ERAP drafted by the Interim Steering Committee. Government departments tasked with implementing aspects of the ERAP were formally approached to provide accurate data on their performance information, targets met or missed, or work activities that is currently underway. Some departments failed to respond, and this was due to the COVID-19 restrictions where the offices were shut down. We have, however, issued formal correspondence indicating that a notice to appear will be issued to fail to submit the information. Some departments subsequently did submit this information that was requested from them, but the target could not achieve in the first quarter. It is continuing and will be completed in the second quarter. And then where government departments continue to fail to supply the requested information, formal processes will be invoked. The next target relates to the government's response to combating gender-based violence. In 2019, CGE carried out a research program activity to assess government's responses to the scourge of GBV in the country. As part of its response, government did set up an interim steering committee on GBVF to steer the processes of implementing some of the key outcomes of the presidential summer declaration, particularly the establishment of the permanent structure to coordinate GBVF in the country. In this financial year, the project continues to assess the government's plans, the programs, and related activities to combat gender-based violence in the country. During the first quarter of the financial year, the department did draft the project concept document specifying how the project was to be carried out, including the institutions and activities to be assessed. A project work plan was drafted and completed, and fieldwork activities, particularly interviews with key stakeholders, have commenced. Chair, we then have a project on male circumcision with a focus on circumcision schools in South Africa, initiation schools. Over the past few years, there's been regular reports in the media on the existence of illegal and unregulated traditional circumcision schools in various provinces and the practices perpetrated at these schools, which have led to the death of young men. The project will then also study the factors that lead to the emergence and sustenance of these schools, their accompanying practices, and the role that they serve in the community where they exist. In this quarter, a project concept document was drafted and completed, identifying some of the key focus areas and institutions to be assessed. A project plan was drafted and completed. The next one is a report on fatherhood and the rights of fathers. For the first quarter, the target was a project plan. This study then seeks to examine the problems encountered by fathers, especially those separated or divorced from partners with children, in terms of enjoying unimpeded rights of access to their children, taking into account the problems experienced by unemployment and economically disadvantaged fathers. we then seek to assess, among others, whether or not economic or financial disadvantage affects the ability of fathers to exercise their fatherly drive. During the quarter, the project, the concept document was drafted and completed, identifying some of the key focus areas and institutions that must be assessed. A work plan was drafted and the research study is underway. And then Chair, strategic objective 4, which is inward looking. The annual target is a policy to regulate the interaction between commissioners and staff, and there should be internal stakeholder consultations on the development of this policy. This interface is addressed through the commissioner's handbook. Various engagements did take place on the commissioner's handbook, and I'm sure that the chair of the commission will also further elaborate on the work done on the commissioner's handbook. The next target is a consolidated report on the implementation of the HR strategy. Chair, we have identified focus areas and have structured an HR plan for implementation. It was agreed that the annual HR plans will be developed and implemented to give effect to the five-year strategy. M&E plan that must be drafted. This is to identify areas of focus for the M&E plan and implementation of the tracking tools for the quarterly target. SEM processes are currently underway for the appointment of a service provider to assist the CGE to develop the tools. Chair, then key strategic partnerships. In this quarter, we had to identify possible strategic partners. Two strategic partners were identified and some work has been undertaken. We have worked with the FABC and UNFPA. Chair, then a report on the coverage through traditional and digital media. The consolidated report was drafted, so we've met the target. Then an approved ICT acknowledgement strategy. We have to review the ICT strategy and the knowledge management strategy for this quarter. The service provider has been appointed and there's been various interface between the service provider and CGE. There's been project timelines that have been agreed to and the project is currently underway. Okay, in conclusion, this highlights the work that is undertaken for the period under review.
Can you repeat what you were saying about the project and the service provider?
Yes, sir.
Can you repeat that, what you were saying? Appointed a service provider.
Yes, sir, to assist with the knowledge management strategy and to review the ICT strategy. And there's been various meetings and this project is well underway.
Why? Because we don't have capacity.
Yes,
why please. Not CETA? I'm asking because when they were presenting, they said there's not enough money and what, but now we are sourcing an outside service provider to do that for you. And there's CETA on this other side.
Chair, this is just a starting project, and currently we are focusing on the knowledge management specifically, and that is there's no capacity in CGE to deal with the knowledge management strategy.
CETA is helping most government departments.
Yes, Chair. This is just the starting of the ICT strategy. So it's not, we will look into CETA, Chair. We will definitely take this up and work forward on that.
To make you fight with us. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will definitely look into it. Thank you, Chair.
All right. You're done?
Done, Chair. Just in conclusion, this has been the work that has been done from April to June in 2020. And thank you, Chair, for the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you very much, Acting CEO. Is there any other presentation?
Yes, Chairperson. We have a presentation by the CFO, Mr. Putu, who will present on the financial management. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Where is he, Chair? Chairperson?
Chair?
Where is the CFO?
I know that he sometimes experiences connectivity issues. We will just find out if he's experiencing some challenges from his side, and we will let you know just now, Chair.
Okay.
Good morning, Honorable Chair.
Good morning.
I'm actually going to be talking from the computer of the acting CEO. We are sharing the boardroom at the CG offices in Pretoria.
Okay.
Chairperson, my presentation is also shared there.
Okay. Whilst we're waiting for the CFO, you know, I'm looking at your target, a status report of the country's response to addressing the enable and sustain women empowerment. The quarterly target is a project plan on assessing the gender responsive in GRP framework. But here on progress, you have written about gender-based violence and femicide. Maybe when we are asking you questions, you'll have to respond to that. What exactly are you saying here? Whether we are talking about GRP framework or we are talking about gender-based violence and femicide. Marisa, I think this is one that it was, I don't know whether it's the one that the researchers were asking you about so that you can correct it or what. I'm not sure.
Let me just quickly check. We lost connectivity just for a second here in the boardroom now, but I will quickly check. I think I get your question.
Update status report on the country's response to addressing and combating GBV, taking into account new commitments made. Project plan on identifying the issues and institutions to be monitored. Progress in 2018-19, the Department of Women in the Presidency introduced a draft gender responsive budget framework to be adopted and implemented by all governments, national government departments as of 2020. This project will examine and analyze the framework and assess progress in the framework framework implementation across government department of the national level. The project has commenced and field work activities underway. Hey, we are interested in this one. I'm sure when you are done, CFO, you can present. I'm just highlighting these two because we are interested.
Noted. Thank you, Chair. I will respond after. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Is the CFO done now?
Chair, I'm now talking from Marisa's terminal. My one gives problems. Once more, Chairperson, good morning to honorable members. Good morning to the commissioners of the CG and colleagues in Parliament. Chairperson, the presentation basically seeks to account for monies that have been appropriated by Parliament. The presentation covers the period, 3 months period to the end of June 2020. Chair, we were, I don't know at what point we were interrupted. However, Chair, the report has been circulated, the presentation, I think I'll speak to the presentation by making reference to specific pages. Before we got disconnected, Chair, we were on slide number 5. Basically, slide number 5 is just a recap of how the CGE budget was affected by the national budget adjustments. Originally, by Appropriation Act of 2020, the CG was allocated 89.8 million, about close to 90 million. And following the national adjustment budget, the CG was also affected. 10.3 million rand of what was originally allocated was reduced. So we are now, for the current financial year, 2020-2021, operating on an 80 million rand budget, which is a budget amount even lower than what we previously had in the previous financial year. The previous financial year, we operated on 85.2 million rand. So the slide is basically to recap what the adjustments were. And so it goes with the subsequent slide number
before,
six.
Before you continue, CFO, let me ask you something. When the department make transfers to your institution, they give you the whole total amount, or they give you according to what they are breaking it down, or they give you the whole amount?
So the allocation, we receive allocation on a monthly basis. So we've got chunks of around 7 million or so on a monthly basis.
The whole amount?
They don't give us the whole amount for the year.
Why is it like that?
Chair, it is in part how National Treasury do cash flow management. Part of the appropriation process is that the allocation, yes, is proclaimed. However, they also want us to give us our cash flow requirements forecast, and then they will basically just transfer as we need on the basis of what we are forecast. So I think it fits into the broader cash management by National Treasury, moving money in between from a national revenue fund to entities.
So, okay. They do that to all entities?
All entities, yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I was making reference to a recap on slide number six, effectively to indicate that following the adjustments, there have been an effect. If we look into the commissioner's program, originally our plan was meant to set aside 15.3 million, but for us to be able to respond to reduced budget, the commissioner's program budget was adjusted downwards to 11.3 million. Similarly, main service delivery program, we have moved the allocation from 51.3 million to 45.7 million. And Chair, what we could also put as an emphasis is to say that on main service delivery, as we were adjusting our budget allocations as a result of the reductions from National Treasury, we have looked into the APP activities and then devised means of ensuring that we secure the APP as was previously approved by the Portfolio Committee. So all activities that were originally approved and noted by the
Babu Porta. Babu Porta.
Chairperson, it is Mabel on desire, Chairperson, Nayong Genil is Chairperson.
Yes,
Chairperson.
And it's Telangati.
Well, I thought Mabel will communicate. No, Secretary Usisi, but I will ask her. I don't know, Chairperson, maybe I'll ask her to please continue. I can only be the only one remaining, Chairperson.
Okay, Mabel is your PA.
Yeah, Chairperson.
Okay, so no, this is not much on the PA, why can I again? So that we must know, we are being hacked or what?
Good morning, Chair. Yes. Mine is not joined in because it's. I thought it was not appropriate. Thanks.
No, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Maluleke.
Yeah. I think it's not because Mabel, what is it that is doing to assist Commissioner Botha, that Commissioner Botha cannot do on his own at the moment because it's only a reporting. So I don't think it's proper to have many people in our committee. And I know that is a public thing, but for me to say the assistant of Commissioner Botha must be in our meeting, I don't think it's proper, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, in that note, Babu Botha, we are guarding against wrong people being part of our meeting.
Oh, okay, Chair, I agree with you, Chair. I'm going to ask to discontinue, Chairperson.
Yeah, and the host must take it out, ne? Thank you very much. Anybody else from the department, if you did not inform us, honorable commissioners, please, it's illegal to invite another person to our meeting if that person is not yourself. Okay, sorry for that, CFO. May you continue?
Thank you, Chair. We were on slide number 6, Chairperson. Takeaway from the slide was to mention that despite the fact that the money which was available in the budget has been reduced, the APP activities which were originally approved by the committee for execution during 2020-2021 have been retained. We have not adjusted our APP downwards. What we did at the commission, we devised other means to reprioritize, to reorganize, so that we are also able to meet service delivery objectives whilst we are also, you know, having reductions in the allocation. So effectively, we are doing more with less, as the same goes. Chairperson, that is the general background about the budget allocation for the current financial year. On slide number 7, we are basically bringing out the salient points with regards to spending activities for the period from April 2020 to the end of June 2020. Chair, before we even mention the spending figures, we are also reporting to the committee that going forward, as we are busy working with National Treasury through the MTF process, there's an indication that there will be subsequent reductions in our budget, in our baseline. What has been projected thus far, is that for the coming financial year, 2021-2022, there will be a reduction of 14.4 million on the CGE baseline, and the reduction increasing to 18.8 million in 2022-2023. The reasons basically are mainly due to the fiscal conditions in which the country finds itself. We have received a report which is also a public information to the effect that for the current fiscal year, the state has under collection of up to 300 billion rand in revenue collection. So that in itself will impact on entities that have been financed from the revenue fund, CGs amongst them. These figures are basically not final figures, Chairperson, but they are figures that are projected as we move along. We thought it's necessary basically to report to the committee to anticipate that we might be this negatively affected in the subsequent years. Chair, for the quarter under review, we have received all monies that were due for allocations. Our transfers, 20 million, have been received in cash from National Treasury via the Department for Women, Youth and Persons with Disability. Chair, an additional to the 20 million, we have some small 255,000 rand that has been received as interest income. So these figures have been reported as our income for the period. And against that income,
that's why you're advising the advising them to now source other services to private service providers.
Chair, we also want to assure the portfolio committee that when it comes to the CGE using outside consultants, we exercise strict controls. We discourage basically the use of consultants to do our work. And the knowledge management activity that has been reported has been outsourced to a third party, emanates from the plans that were agreed in the previous period. And indeed, Chair, the project in itself is not a huge project as such. It's basically a project in which a strategy will be drawn, a blueprint, and the implementation, which will be the bigger component of the main program, would not be outsourced. I think where we are sitting from a strategic point of view, Chair, was that the CGE, given the type of services that we are rendering, we need to harness information and knowledge that we are generating as an institution. And we are anticipating that in itself will also improve, in material sense, the service delivered. So we have tried to do it internally over the years. It has been a performance target over the years. However, Chair, we could not get to a point where we have a credible strategy. So we have just sourced the expertise, and it's not a huge project to speak, Chair. It's just a project to come up with a blueprint to analyze our situation, to look into opportunities that could be used by the CGE. And the main idea is to improve on service delivery, to heighten service delivery. So we want to assure the committee that we are not using consultants in a generous way, but this was out of need. It's a project that has even been planned even before the constraining of our budget. So it's not going to break. It's not going to be, cost ineffective for the CG to engage through this project. But we take the message, Chair, that the use of consultants have got to be avoided. We are taking the message, and that is what we are also continuously implementing, Chair. If I may continue, Chair?
Continue, CFO. It's okay.
Thank you very much. And against this income, Chair, for the quarter under review, the CGE has spent 16.3 million. I think most of the monies that were available for spending could not be spent due to the national lockdown. We're noting that the key drivers of underspending, one was on COE, because we've got vacancies. We had vacancies existing in the period. Up to 1 million rand have been saved. And additionally, Chair, because there was lockdown, other expenses, overhead expenditure, such as the running expenses for offices. We spend money there. We saved money there because we were not going to the offices as regularly, despite the fact that we were an essential service. We were not utilizing much of the office resources. And as a result, that has contributed to our savings. And other expenses such as traveling and whatever, because of lockdown, we didn't travel, and then we have also saved, and they have also contributed to the saving. However, when you project the remainder of the financial year against the budget of 80 million rand which is available, we are not anticipating that we will be reporting any surplus for the current year. So our APP activities, the ACTCO was indicating where we were lagging in implementing. So as we catch up, Chair, the spending will also mirror our catch-up activities on the APP. So we don't anticipate to report any surplus whatsoever in the current financial year, for the current financial year. Chair, the next slide, effectively, as we invited by the committee to say we need to present the spending per economic classification per program, summarizes such spending. We can see, Chair, that the compensation of employees for the quota amounted to 13.6 million. Under the first column, the total, grand total at the bottom, 13.6 million was spent on compensation of employees, where we had a quarterly budget of 14.7 million. So there have been a saving there. And then we're also giving comparatives to the previous year, same period, April to June, but in the previous financial year, our COE expenditure then was 13.492. And similarly, Chair, we are reflecting the numbers as it relates to goods and services. For the current quarter, in the current financial year, 2.6 million was spent. We had set aside 4.6 million. As we have reported, basically the key drivers of under expenditure was the fact that we are under lockdown. And the amount also indicated, including even comparative numbers with the same period for the year 2019-2020. What we can take out from this particular slide, Chair, is the fact that most of the money, 73% of what has been spent, relates to what the CG Act obligates us to spend on. We're spending this money on core service delivery, and we're spending this money on the commissioner's programs, and responsibilities that need to be carried out are outlined in the CG Act, and then they've been pronounced as well, I think, in the APP report that has been provided. So we are not spending, we're spending less on the administration program. As you can see, corporate services only accounts for 27% of what has been spent. In the next slide, slide number 9, Chair, we are further sharing the breakdown on how the expenditure have been incurred at account level. The details are there, Chair. I could just for the record indicate that COE for this particular quarter, first quarter, accounted for 84% of what has been spent. And to emphasize a point, Chair, the earlier point to say that the CGE does not rely at all on the use of consultants. Even through our service delivery model, all work that needs to be carried out in terms of the APP is being executed internally. We use our own human resources to deliver the CGE work. And then as a result, even our business model and spending on COE will indicate that higher percentage. and the details are shared, I think accounts that can be noted to be accounts which have contributed to a net underspending of 3 million on office cleaning. If we look into the middle of slide number 9, there's an account called office cleaning, maintenance, plant and security. Under that account, up to close to 300,000 was saved, underspent. Staff training and development, due to lockdown, the planned training activities could not be carried out, and as a result, for the first quarter, 260,000 was not spent. And the last bigger contributor to underspending is the last line, travel locally. We had up to 197,000, which has not been spent, although set aside. So these are the key contributors to the underspending under the current quarter. Chair, if we can move from spending activities, income and spending activities, to the statement of financial position. Chair, we are happy to report to the committee that financially speaking, the CG, we are still in a healthy financial situation. Despite the fact that we are anticipating that there will be spending pressures into the future, but currently, as at the reporting date, we as an institution are still liquid. We have enough cash to pay our creditors. We are solvent. We are not bankrupt. And we assure the committee that we are going concerned. The APP and strategy as we have it is not at risk whatsoever. It will be delivered. So we are assuring the committee that our financial state is a healthy one and sound one, at least for the current financial year, we'll be able to deliver what we set ourselves out to do. And furthermore, Chair, on slide number 11, we have also been invited by the committee to make a presentation on assets and liabilities. We are highlighting the financial figures, and we are drawing comparatives between the previous year and the current year. That is, we are comparing the figures as at the end of June 2019 to the figures as at the end of June 2020, 2020 being the actual, and prior year, PY, stands for the prior year, being 2019 figures. So we can see that our asset base in terms of financial figures grew from 19.9 million in 2019 to 39 million in 2020. Key drivers are cash in the bank, and as well, we have additionally an increase in property, plant and equipment. We have purchased motor vehicles as an example. So those were the key drivers. And what we can also assure the committee about is the fact that we are also adhering to the provisions of PFMA. These assets are well protected. The PFMA requires of the institutions to provide the custodianship and stewardship to secure basically the state assets. They are effectively a secured chairperson. We are following all the requirements of the PFMA and National Treasury regulations. So we are taking care of the state assets. And similarly, Chair, on the same slide, we are outlining what our liabilities are. I mean, these are extracts from our own financial records, extracts from financial statements. And we can see that we, in the main, our liabilities are current. We have liabilities as mostly relating to staff-related matters. Leave as an example, we have made recorded a liability of 3 million Last year, same period, it was around 2.4 million. There's also provision for salary bonus, statements check. We are accounting for it. So far, it has increased to 4 million. And we have for the suppliers, trade and other payables, 1.5 million. So these liabilities, we've got enough cash to discharge our obligations to service them. So Chairperson, that is where we are in terms of financial figures. Additionally, the committee requested the commission to appraise them on the state of financial management systems. Key of the financial management activities relates to supply chain management. On slide 13, we are just giving a synopsis of activities under supply chain. Effectively, we have our own annual demand plan, which has been also submitted to National Treasury. So we've got full transparency as to what is it that the CG intends to procure from outside. And then that has been tabled with National Treasury as is required. And we have also indicated major procurement transactions that we intend doing under acquisition management. We've got a tender on KM is knowledge management strategy. We've got audio conferencing. Audio conferencing as we are responding to COVID situation as well. I think most of our meetings will be done through the use of technology. So we have procured audio conferencing equipment. Basically, this equipment...
I think you're taking our time as CFO.
Okay. Okay, Chair. I will try and speed it up. Thanks.
Yeah, so conclude.
Okay, thank you. So effectively, Chair, we are saying for this particular period, no irregularities, all procurement transactions have been done according to the requirements of the law and prescripts, and activities are as outlined, as well with regards to our logistics, the use of fleet and facilities management, all is in order. What could be taken away from slide 14 is the fact that we are also complying with COVID-19 protocols to ensure that the safety, all the related risks are averted. And that will be under facilities management chair. Also, one further assurance is to the effect that we are following, we've got systems in place, internal control systems, risk management systems in place, sound financial management systems. These are the requirements which are outlined under the PFMA expressly. So we have those particular practices. We've got the procedures that governs that. We've got an audit committee. So governance generally at the CGE occurs in terms of what the PFMA requires and the constitution broadly requires. We outlined activities relating to risk management. We could skip. And on slide number 17, Chair, we shared this information even during the previous meeting with the committee. It's a slide on what has been spent so far on PPE and COVID-19 related services. So we are also reporting to the committee that there are no irregularities noted. We have procured as the National Treasury has prescribed. We are satisfied as an institution, and we are assuring the committee that we didn't flout any rule whatsoever, as far as we know. And Chair, the last part basically is also a key activity that was undertaken during the first quarter of the financial year was the regularity audit by the AGSA. It has unfolded. The activities went through. We worked with the auditors virtually where possible. We cooperated well with the auditors. We have had an extension granted by the Minister of Finance, postponing activities by 2 months. However, we used the virtual facilities available, and we could successfully work with the auditor. There will be a report to be tabled by the AGSA, as the AGSA is the exclusive, has got exclusive jurisdiction to report on the audit outcomes. So we are anticipating that in due course there will be a report public, report made public via Parliament by the Auditor General. So all that we are reporting is that the audit has occurred. COVID interruptions did not, we succeeded basically. We didn't fail as a result of COVID. There will be an audit report available and also subsequent reporting by the CGE to the Portfolio Committee on the annual report and annual financial statements in due course. Chairperson, if I could conclude, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CFO. I will go straight to the questions. I will start first with the most critical issues that we dealt with in the last meeting, which one was the filling of the vacancy of the CEO. You must tell us what is the status, because today the person who was presenting was the acting CEO. And in our last meeting, the process was unfolding. So we need to get what is the status now. And when coming to issues of appointing the PAs, I think there was the information that was not a true reflection in terms of whether the PAs of the
Chair. Nelisa, can you check whether the chairperson is still with us? Come on, Nelisa.
I'll do it.
Okay. All right. Can we just, colleagues, give the chairperson a few seconds to reconnect if she has left the platform, but we'll just check on whether or not she is struggling to connect. If so, then we'll proceed.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome back, Chair. We can hear you now.
Hello, sir.
You can me.
All right.
Mastiko, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now, Chair. We had a bit of a problem hearing you, but you are audible now.
Oh, is there were those issues that we were discussing, that the PA is when appointed at that time, they were after, but also what was what was disturbing was that the contract, which I don't understand why, where the PA is given a 3 month contract when the commissioners are appointed for a 5 year term. And then coming to you have tried to explain someone to support you thing of outsourcing as the portfolio committee, especially under the conditions where government is struggling with finances. And why would you outsource Ellen when you have commissioners who have those expertise? Between commissioner, the chair, Commissioner Dobatla and Commissioner Dr. Ntabi Seng and Commissioner, I think even Commissioner Sidiko. I think the first commissioners that we appointed among those commissioners, there were commissioners who have who are strategic planners, and I'm not sure why are you not utilizing your own, because they are there. There's no need for you to outsource those services because you do have people in your institution. But I want to go straight to strategic objective organization that. You know, I'm looking at your key performance indicators, where you are talking about a policy to regulate the interface between commissioners and staff. Your targets, you are saying here, actual performance target met. The CGE indicates that the interface is addressed in the commissioner's handbook, which was consulted on. What does that mean? I don't understand whether you have concluded or you haven't concluded your handbook. You must tell us what exactly do you mean here. But the other thing with your MNE plan drafted, identify areas of focus for MNE plan, implementation of the tracking tool. Here, this target was not met. And that's the one that also, I'm not sure, how are you tracking implementation of other departments and entities, if you know yourself, you have not concluded your MNE plan. I'm not sure. You know, we've been praising you as the portfolio committee that you are one of the best in terms of MNE. But when I was reading this go objective 4, I was asking myself, even honourable members, I'm sure they are puzzled. What exactly is happening? We don't understand. What do you mean? And I can now hand over to the one of AICT. You know, we said, why not use, we are not encouraging all of you, including the department and NYDA, we are discouraging all of you to use on issues with ICT when there is a feature that can assist you. And then I hand over to honorable members, because I'm using my phone, you can just tell me your name so that I can call you accordingly.
Maluleke. Chairperson.
Then with my phone.
Maluleke.
Okay.
Mastiko.
Mastiko.
Maluleke.
Kaula. Kaula.
Makaula.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have my name, Chairperson? Do you have my name, Maluleke?
Yes, Joyce, you are number one. I think I hear Mpiti or between Mpiti and Mwabo, who is
okay.
Saying, who's talking?
It's me, Joyce, Mpiti.
Mpiti, is it you or is it who else?
I Sharif, Chairperson.
I have Maluleke, I must be from Kaula. Honorable Mpiti, and
Mpiti, Chairperson, Honorable Sharif.
Sharif? Okay.
Go, no, Chairperson.
Okay, Honorable Ngobo. Lieutenant.
Yes, Kalukotele.
In that order? Oh, okay. In that order, honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I would like to firstly welcome the presentation by the presenters. Chairperson, I think you have said some of the things that I have a concern on, especially about the consultants. But let me just ask some of the questions that I have with me here. The first one, Chairperson, it would be on the intervention report by the commissioners. If you check their report there, there are some commissioners who did not present or submit their report. So I would want to find out from the CGE, what were the reasons from those commissioners who failed to submit their first quarter intervention report? And secondly, the first quarter report. I think CGE must go back and check what we said in their past reports, because on the fourth quarter report of 2019-2020, there were 493 pending complaints. And they said they are going to carry them in the the following year, which is the first quarter, which we are dealing with now. I want to know, how far are they with those previous pending cases? And also, I would like to know how many vacancies are there currently within the CGE. And the last one, if you check strategic objective number 4, dealing with monitoring and evaluation, does it mean that CGE could not identify areas of focus for the monitoring and evaluation plan because they did not meet their target there? Can they explain to us why couldn't they meet their target? Because they cannot say it's because of the lockdown. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Masiko?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to yourself and honorable members and all the participants in this platform. Chair, I think one must firstly express the concern in which the performance information is given in terms of the report that has been presented. As much as we are having the narrative in response to how CGE has performed in the first quarter, we are unable to ascertain as to how many of it's put broadly that there are seven out of a total of 24 targets that have not been met. But as you go to, in terms of the reporting, when you are going to the strategic objectives, you are unable to ascertain which out of the 24 have been met and which have not been met. We're just getting a total of seven, which is 29%, but you don't know which that seven is referring to. So we really need to ascertain, maybe CGE needs to specify under which strategic objectives these targets have not been met, instead of the narrative the narrative is welcome, but we need to ascertain which of those are actually being referred to. In terms of the previous financial year, Honorable Chairperson, which is the 2019-2020 financial year, we do, as a portfolio committee, have the report that by the end of the financial year, there were five targets that were not met. You are having one target under strategic objective one, and four targets under strategic objectives four. So we need to know, I think, as a committee, as to what progress has been made in addressing the outstanding targets of the 2019-2020 financial year, and that is specifically relating to the five targets that were not met by the end of the financial year. In quarter one, under strategic objective one, one would like to know that what are the outstanding bills that will be completed in quarter two? And the second question under strategic objective one is what was the CGE's input towards the public procurement bill? In terms of the strategic objective two, one would like to know, Honorable Chairperson, that why were there no legal clinics conducted in the Northwest and the Northwest? And secondly, what is the system that is being used by CGE to put in place in terms of responding to the matters that have emerged in the stakeholder engagement sessions that they are hosting? Under strategic objective three, one would like to ascertain where will the project on male circumcision be held, noting that you know it's very active around the areas of KZN and the Eastern Cape. Strategic objective four, has there been an annual HR plan been developed for the year 2020-2021? And the last one under that strategic objective is what does the partnership with UNFPA entail? In terms of the programmatic issues, Chair, Umam Joyce has raised the ones that I wanted to raise, but maybe of concern is the issue of the female sterilization, forced sterilization, on the HIV positive women. And we know that it was reported in the last meeting that the engagements were awaited with the Department of Health. And one would like to know what the progress is since the last meeting in terms of the engagements with the Department of Health. We are moving, Honorable Chairperson, towards the election, the local government elections for the 2021 towards the end of the year. So one would like to know what, if any, work will be made by the CGE regarding the upcoming local government elections. And the last one around is that Human Choice has raised, but what progress has been made in filling all the vacant posts in CGE? Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Masik. Honourable Mamkaula. Mamkaula.
Thank you, Chair. Ngibonga ipresentation, Chairperson. I'm going to say, I-COVID-19. Kuney'nkinga eziningi esibona ukuthi labantu bebesishanela nganeno kuney'ndaba angafiki khona. Lana uma uthi uyalalela kukhulunywa ngo-51 million. Ufike la uthi uyakhuluma kukhulunywa ngo-2.6 million. Uthole ukuthi bakhuluma ngo-73% abathi bawenzile. Manje sihlalo sami umbuzo uthi yiziphi lezi ndawo abafocus ekuzona, yiziphi lezi ndawo abangayanga kuzona? Why ngisho njalo na, Chairperson? Uyabona endaweni yase Eastern Cape edutshwa kunesikole etholakala iBoja, iseBojeni Primary eXorha. Ngithuka isimanga namanje ade ngifonelwa abantu bakhona, ngayibona le nto cutting edge bayangifonela namanje. Ngithuka isimanga ukuthi kuney'kole from 1970s, Chairperson, ayikaze zicatshangelwe ngokwentuthuko CGE kodwa khona. Lalela-ke sihlalo, kune-COVID-19 la bekubhekelelwa khona abantu ukuthi kwenziwa sho kwaze kwaphuma nemali ukuthi abantu bonke funa bawashe izandla, mabewashe izandla funeka benze sho ukuthi abantu banendawo eclean. Iy'ngane zesikole zakule yalali, Chairperson, azinawo amathoyilethi, zikhulula ehlathini. Iy'ngane zalesa sikole indawo ey'hlala kuyona ayikho health. Angikuphathe kwe-roof, angiphathe kwani. Kodwa u-CGE umbuzo wami, kanti yena ubhekelela amadolobha noma yimaphi amadolobha awabhekelela? Ngoba even la e-Western Cape, Chairperson, abantu bahlala kwindlu ongayazi. Ngibuyele kumhlonishwa wami la uMarisa Fanny, uzongixolela uma ngisibiza kambi isibongo sakhe. Eyi, kungiphatha kabi into akhuluma ngazo la, ngoba la yena ukhuluma ezifu bayayenza intuthuko kubantu, bayaya kubantu ku-make sure ukuthi abantu bayahlanzeka and bayayithola izinto abafanele bazithole. Kodwa ekugcineni mina ngiziboni zonke lezi nto ba kuney'ndaba ngayo. Emakhaya nje ayikho le nto yokuthi bazimamemezele batshele abantu ngenhlanzeko, shuko bafundisa akukho. Chairperson, isithando esidala sami-ke ngikhonza ukukhuluma mina ngezinto ey'bambekayo. Uyaba kuneklinikhi khona Eastern Cape nje abayifuna lahambe khona. Angazi ukuthi kuphi under kumuphi u-government. Ngaphansi kwamasipala uMnquma municipality. Le nto ekuthiwa i-APP ayisatshangela uma beplana, abakwazi baplanela laba bantu. Ngifuna bakwazi from now, angidlali angihleki nabo. Uyabona nje kune clinic lapha yakuthiwa inseshe clinic anga engqamakwe abantu balapha yakusukela kuqala iCOVID-19 abakaze bathole lutho into nje kuthiwa isanitizer noma yini abana lapha kune clinic la clinic service ibhodi ezu-12 abanawo ngisho imithi uze kuthatha unesi imoto yakhe ahamba aye next door iclinic Willow Vale ayofuna khona imithi. Umbuzo wami ukuba le COVID-19 ibingafikanga bese sizobona ngani ukuthi u-CGE usiqhuba ngamadolo kuphela la kukhulunywa ngezimali kodwa nezimali aziyi kubantu emakhaya ayikhulunywa nhlobo le ndaba yelokhuzana lenhlanzelo akukho ngisho amathanki afikayo afika abekwe liyosala linjani why bengalandeli sibone kunabantu ababenza ukuthi baboshwe babuze ukuthi iy'mali zenzeni. Ngiyacela ngoba ngiyanizwa nonikhuluma ngomasipala. Umasipala banendaba nathi. Thina sithembele nini ukuthi nizobalandela omasipala sibone kuboshwa abantu. And kufuneka nazi ukuthi ayikho into ebuhlungu uthi uyimemba yephalamende noma uthi uyimemba yeportfolio committee kodwa ekugcineni ubona abantu phansi bayahlupheka. Uyabo lento ibuhlungu ngoba izi affecte wena uqowe njengami gcina sengigula ngokubuka izinto ezenzeka kubantu ziningi izinto Chairperson ofuna sizilungise yingakho manje ukuthi laba bantu abanobefika bezoreporta bezosifunda ngenqoba yamaphepha from now funa sikhulume manje ukuthi ayibe ayithatha bebuyele eceleni asikhulume manje ngokuthi kanje kuyobheka ukuthi endaweni ethize bukani 1, 2, 3 kubuye back ephalamende kuzosho ukuthi nazi izinto eziyitholile sizoyilungisa kanjani ngoba le nto bazolobe efika besitshela ngezimali ukushoda kwezimali yimali eyisebenzile kodwa uma uthi uyobheka ayiboni nje isebenze kuphi isihlalo. Ngiyaxolisa and ngiphatha kami le nto ukubona abantu bakithi basahlupha kanje iy'lokhuza ibhedlela abanazo iy'kole abanazo yini ngempela mpela ofunaka thina siyenze. From 1994 kanti yini esasivotele eSouth Africa ithi thina sibamnyama sizohluleka ukuletha i-service delivery kubantu and angifuni belo bekubala bethi benze ukuthi nokuthi ngoba yonke le nto abayibhale phansi it's just a paper ayikho into abayenzile indaba ye-theory afuna kuphele manje asikhulumeni ngepractical emaplazini ubona kunanda kubantu befa kangaka nje yile minyango ka-government ayifuni ukusebenza ihlala phansi ema-ofisi ibhalibhali ibizositshela into yamanga sicazeyacaza imali ngendlela okuthanda ngayo and le nto Chairperson ngicela wena uqobo uyivume le nto le ukuthi it is a total wrong ile ndlela yokuhlukumezeka kwabantu eminyango yingenxa ukuthi le minyango ka-government ayifuni ukusebenza ihlala kukhulu emaphepheni nokulozositshela ngemali engayile kubantu abazidle bona ngoba bazidlile. Ngiyabonga sihlalo. Sengiqedile sihlalo kanti ngingakhuluma futhi bantu safuna ngikhulume ba mina ngiyakubantu nothi lokhuza nginaney'thombe futhi. Ayikho into emhlungu ubona umuntu wakini ehlupheka kodwa siphethe thina abantu abamnyama kana besikhala ngabelungu manje kufanele thina nathi sikhona la siyehluleka ukusebenzela abantu. Thanks Chairperson.
Honorable Masiko, where are you? I think Chairperson, a problem. Can you continue with the meeting? Honorable Masiko. Yes, ma'am. Joyce, hello. I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you. I think we have a problem with the connection, but maybe let's proceed. I don't know who was the next speaker after Mam Kaula.
I had not noted the name. I think it's Honorable Ntiti.
Yes, they are correct.
Thank you.
Honorable Ntiti, were you the next speaker on the line?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Colleagues, we have lost the chairperson, so I think I'll proceed with the meeting for now. Honorable Mpiti, you may proceed, and then after Honorable Mpiti, we'll be having Honorable
No, Honorable Masiko, I'm after Honorable Mpiti.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Sharif. You may proceed, Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you so much, Honorable Masiko. A very good morning to all honorable members, as well as the CGE and all officials, as well as the commissioners. I'm just going to start right off the bat to agree with what has been said by fellow honorable members on this committee. But I think the first thing that I really want to start with is in relation to the forced sterilization of HIV women. And I think, colleagues, there's been a lot of concern around this issue, not only, you know, within this committee, but amongst ordinary South Africans who feel that, you know, the investigation of this particular situation has taken long and has not been able to really get down to the actual issues and the actual problems that we are facing, particularly in the Department of Health. And so my question there really is that from the presentation, we've noted that there's 30 complaints that have been received. And so I'd really like to know exactly where are the hotspots or the problematic areas in which this disgusting thing is being done to women across the country who are being sterilized without their consent. Can we find out from the department what is the geographical spread? Can we also that CGE has had with the Department of Health in trying to get down to the bottom of this and investigating this? Can we receive an update of where those conversations are and what are the next steps that are going to be taken by CGE and what are the potential stakeholders that CGE is looking at working with to ensure that we remedy this particular issue as soon as possible? The second point really refers to the complaints set up within CGE that have been taken over to the 2020-21 financial year. And so I think it's very concerning to look at such a high number, because a lot of people come to the CGE with hopes that they will be able to receive some form of advice, guidance, or support in whatever particular issue that they are facing. Whether that be related to GBV or any other issue that is really pertinent to that particular person. And so it becomes incumbent upon CGE to ensure that these complaints are not just laying around and not being dealt with. So I really would like to know, for many people who mostly are in communities and areas in which they don't have access to legal advice or legal representation, or might not have a proper understanding of what exactly is being required in whatever circumstance that they find themselves in, CGE sometimes for many people is the only door that people have to look for recourse. And so I want to know what actions have been taken to ensure that we bring down this very high number of complaints that people have brought. I think colleagues will remember in a meeting last year, this was one of the questions that I raised, because it is not right for us to be sitting with over hundreds of complaints that have not been closed or have not really received the work that they need to receive. And further to that is also to speak to the role of commissioners, in particular with mitigating some of these complaints as they relate to either provinces or nationally. What have the commissioners done to sort of deal with some of the systematic issues that continue to be prevalent, particularly when it comes to not being able to close some of these cases because of amongst provinces in the country? And then just I'm really interested to find out what is the relationship between CGE and the department like, because I think it's becoming further concerning to realize that, you know, the department is moving on a particular direction, particularly on, you know, a number of things, the gender mainstreaming framework and a number of other things. So I'm interested to know, what is the relationship currently between the department and CGE? What are the gaps that still exist? Because I don't believe at this stage in time that we've been able to build a synergy between the department and CGE, or at least a successful stakeholder type of relationship to be able to look at each other as stakeholders in the work that is being done on the ground. So also in the report there's an indication, this is my fourth point, there's an indication about working or looking at municipalities in the way in which they are mainstreaming gender. There was a mention that two municipalities' IDPs were looked at. And I'm just interested to know why only two? Why was there not an attempt to be able to have a consolidated picture of municipalities across the country and exactly what they're doing to look at that particular mainstreaming initiative to ensure that we do have uniformity? Or are these two municipalities just a microcosm in terms of the CGE looking at what is actually happening? So I'd just like some indication on that. I think one of the honorable members has spoken to quarterly reports not being being submitted by the commissioners. And so I'd really like to know, how are the commissioners, through you, acting CEO, how are the commissioners being assessed? How are their performance being assessed? And how do we make that role meaningful, particularly for you know, commissioners who are there and who have been, you know, appointed to lead and to assist South Africa on these issues? How can we ensure that we are giving them the support that they need to be able to do their jobs to the best of their ability? And so it brings me to questions like, you know, the relationships between commissioners and provincial South African Police Service, relationships between commissioners and the department, aiming to cultivate those relationships. What type of support do commissioners need to deal with the gaps that they are finding in their work? Because there are gaps that do exist. And I think we need to strengthen the arm of the commissioners to be able to assist where those gaps exist. And then just lastly, to not speak too much, it's just on the concern about how we put these targets together. Particularly, I think Honorable Masigo has spoken to it about strategic objective number one, where, you know, and I think also the chairperson has referred to it. But to say that, you know, one of the targets was to have engagements with Parliament and be able to, is not met. And so I'm just interested to know, is there perhaps a gap in which CGE is not understanding how they need to relate to this particular portfolio committee, particularly when it comes to reporting on their work or reporting on any information that is necessary to ensure that all honorable members who have constituencies to report back to are able to do so with the information at hand that we've received from CGE, because we are also accountable to the constituencies in which we lead. And if we do not receive that information, it does become problematic. So the fact that this target was not met, the fact that this target didn't require much effort on the department, and it needs to be rectified as soon as possible, because we do not want to have another situation where a target like this is being not met when it doesn't really require much effort. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpiti. Unfortunately, I couldn't hear you with Honorable Masiko and Mam Kaula. I just got cut off. I will hear from the response from the CGE and the chair. And I think the next person is Honorable Sheriff.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all the colleagues online. Unfortunately, I did get cut off at the end of Honorable Mpiti's question, so if I do repeat myself, please, if I do repeat points, please do forgive me. I just wanted to make a point, Chairperson, on what Honorable Mpiti said about the relationship between the CGE and the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. For me, one of the issues is I often think sometimes we expect for CGE to go above and beyond their scope and also their budgetary requirements, noting that CGE is one of the least funded Chapter 9 institutions in this country. And so oftentimes I think we want them to do more than what they should be doing, when in fact the department should be taking on more responsibility, because they have a bigger budget, they have bigger staff capacity, and they need to be taking on more of the work. So having said that, I want to thank the CGE and especially Commissioner Majibuko for always being there to assist when it comes to anything related to women, whether it's GBVF, whether it's business, whether it's empowerment. And the fact that they do this with underfunding is commendable. Chairperson, I wanted to speak about the shelters that the acting CEO opened her presentation with. I have had the experience acting CEO that during level 5, level 4 lockdown, that there were shelters that were simply not taking any woman in, not even with a negative test. It was simply, it's corona virus, we are unable to take any new woman in. And what happened then is it left many survivors of GBVF stranded. It left many women with no opportunity to leave the perpetrator and found themselves having to stay with them. And for us to just put it on a report as a fact, as a matter of fact, and full stop, is honestly unacceptable. I think that we all have a responsibility, not only as MPs, but as the CGE as well, to monitor, report, and investigate, and essentially hold government accountable when it comes to such things. I can't accept that we come to committee and we say, this is what happened, without providing mitigating solutions or what the CGE had done to ensure that women get access to safe shelters and is taken out of their homes with abusers. On slide 25, Acting CEO, you spoke about how unemployment and the lack of income is one of the main causes for GBVF. I think it would be important to...
We didn't hear you because you were cutting.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chairperson. I think maybe I should put my video off so that I can have better connection. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I was speaking about slide 25 on the presentation that the acting CEO had given us, where she speaks about unemployment and the lack of income as one of the main causes for GBVF. I read that sentence as saying that the reason why one of the main causes for GBVF is women not being having access to the economy. I think that sentence needs to be restructured so that we can have a better understanding of exactly what the CGE means, because it's very open-ended and it doesn't give enough clarity. Having said that, going through this report, Chairperson, I was very disappointed at the format and the putting the report together, where they speak about the response the gender mainstreaming, they speak about GBVF, and so it's very confusing and there is no real showing of where the target is. So I want to add to what Honorable Masiko was saying about that. I want to speak on the forced sterilization. Honorable Piti covered me, but I wanted to find out from the CGE, will you be expanding this investigation nationally? And what is the status of that? When it comes to the emergency reaction action plan and the national strategic plan, Chairperson, the very disappointing part was in the presentation there was not enough information given, and there was not adequate reporting being done. So my question is, which departments have not reported adequately in terms of the ERAP, and has the CGE gone through the report that was presented to the President? And when will CGE compile the final report and submit it to the committee? Even though the ERAP was 6 months and it's now being replaced by the NSP, I still think it's the responsibility of the CGE to come up with the report on the status and the response by government. When it comes to the NSP, Chairperson, how is the CGE monitoring and evaluating the implementation of the National Strategic Plan? And has the CGE looked at government's overall response to gender-based violence and femicide? Have they monitored it, and are they able to report on it as part of their mandate as a Chapter 9 institution? The reason I ask this is because I'm not sure if colleagues has watched the special assignment report on the government response and the many issues that government is facing, and I want to find out from the CGE, what is the status on your monitoring and evaluation on government's response to this? Chairperson, honourable members have covered the rest of my points. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. One has interest also in asking CGE on whether with this program of sanitary dignity packs, they have monitored provinces on how have they utilized the money that was allocated to them, whether it reached the intended beneficiaries and people, or what has happened. Without any waste of time, let me give Honorable Ngobo. You are speaking too soft.
Can you hear me now, Chairperson?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Good morning to honorable members, commissioners, and city staff. I have been covered by both Biola and Mesley on the first sterilization. But just to get an understanding if there is any progress that has been made in working with the Department of Health since the last briefing by the CGE to the committee on the first sterilization. And also, on the performance of commissioners, I've also been covered. I wanted to understand how each commissioner is assessed on a quarterly basis, as well as the consequence management or implications for commissioners who did not submit quarterly reports. Chairperson, I also want to find out if the commissioners are able to engage with provincial PEP structures, such as the provincial secretariat offices or civilian secretariat for police officers, deal with complaints late regarding GPV and challenges experience with the police. And my following question will also be on vacancies. Just to get an understanding of the positions that are currently vacant and the impact that they have on service delivery. And my last question will be on the Boy Child project, Jefferson. I just to request for a brief update on the
Thank you very much, Babu Ngobo. I can allow the chair, the deputy chair, and the acting CEO and the CFO to respond.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and good morning again to honorable members and fellow commissioners. I'm going to respond to some questions, and I will allow the Deputy Chair to also respond on some questions, especially on the monitoring of the ERAP. as well as our MNE frameworks. Chairperson, starting with your first question on the appointment of the CEO for CGE, just a very quick update on this one. I would like to report, Chair, that from the previous meeting that we had, yes, I think we reported on the progress that was unfolding. Today, I just want to report that we finalized the report on the recruitment of the CEO, the report of the high-level plenary or high-level committee that was responsible for appointing the CEO. And this report went through the internal process. It was subjected to a plenary, which is our highest decision-making body within CGE. And this plenary chair said on the 14th of August to adopt, to engage and adopt the report that was deliberated.
Ausbogan Kamara.
Let me just check. I'm closer to the mic, Chair.
Yeah, right.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm not sure where you lost me, Chair, but I was actually updating the committee that we have so far managed to table the high-level report of the committee that was responsible for appointing the CEO with its recommendations. So the report was tabled at the plenary, which is the highest decision-making body of CGE, and
this plenary meeting
set on the 14th of August, 2020. And based on its recommendations, Chair, recommended two preferred candidates. The first candidate who scored the highest and was offered the CEO's position, she was constituting and was seen to be fit with Commission for Gender Equality's mandate and strategic intent, was Miss Baby Chawa. Miss Baby Chawa was given an offer of employment letter, which she accepted. And the acceptance, however, Chair, was the reasons that she would like to negotiate with CGE on issues of salary, that salary that was actually given or the amount that was given by CGE. So that process, Chair, was done in terms of engaging Ms. Chawa on the amount offered. However, today I must say that on the table by CGE, after trying so many times to go back and forth on the amounts that we were negotiating with Ms. Chawa, however, she ended up declining because we could not meet the amount that was required. So that was the most unfortunate situation. So the offer was then declined. Chair, I would also like to report that we then, as CGE, have given an offer of employment to the second preferred candidate by the name of Ms. Jamela Ellen Robinson. Ms. Jamela Robinson has accepted our offer in the form of a letter, and she is currently serving notice wherever she is working currently, and she is ready to resume duties on the 1st of November 2020. We are currently looking at a very robust induction process there. And we are hoping that by the 1st of November, we would have a CEO for CGE.
And Wongen.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. On the second issue, Chair, that you wanted an update on, which is the appointment of PAs
for two commissioners for reasonable accommodation. Chair, you will remember that we were given 2 weeks by the portfolio committee to actually do the appointments of the two PAs. I just want to give an update, Chair, that will also just reflect a bit of time that was taken, Chair, in terms of recruiting. From the portfolio committee, Chair, we went and we actually looked at our internal policy that deals with differently abled persons. And in the policy, Chair, we identified some gaps and those gaps that we identified, Chair, were gaps that were not speaking directly to reasonable accommodation by commissioners and also by staff members, but I think commissioners in particular. So we went back, Chair, and we made sure that we subject the differently abled policy or the reasonable accommodation policy to some kind of a review. So the review was made, the policy was subjected to the HR committee. The HR committee brought it back to plenary. The same plenary of the 14th of August also looked at the reasonable accommodation policy that was reviewed and that was actually trying to accommodate. In fact, it has accommodated almost everyone now, Chair. So that has been done, which took a little bit of time from the 2 weeks that we were given, but we actually from July to the 14th of August, we really made progress in terms of making sure that the reasonable accommodation policy speaks to exactly what we were trying to address. The second phase, Chair, was to do an assessment of the individual needs. So we went back to the two commissioners, which is Commissioner Mazibuko and Commissioner Border. They were both engaged, and I must say that this function was the function that was given to the deputy chair to engage both of them and really sit down with them and look at what are the specific needs of each individual commissioner so that it's not a blanket approach that we will apply in terms of making sure that they are covered with PAs. So that process was done, Chair, and based on the assessment that was carried on the individual needs, a report was produced with recommendations, Chairperson. And the recommendations, and I must say that this report, Chair, was then submitted to the Office of the Chair or to the Chairperson on the 31st of August. And on the very same day, Chairperson, the Chairperson was then, after looking at the report, was able to issue a directive. And this directive was issued to the Secretariat, the acting CEO, to actually appoint with immediate effect the two personal assistants, two Commissioner Border and two Commissioner Mazibuko. So that directive was issued upon the receipt of the report on the 31st of August 2020. On the same date, Chair, same time, the two commissioners were called and they were informed formally by the chairperson that the two appointments of PAs were to be done with immediate effect from the 1st of September 2020. Chairperson, I must say that the function of appointing the PAs is the function of the Secretariat. However, I must say that the Secretariat, the acting CEO, was then given the responsibility to draft the letters of appointment and share them. And I must also say that the letters at that time, Chair, were pitched at a level where the appointments were to be done over a 3 month period until December, and they were pitched at a certain level. We have levels internally, Chair, which when you look at the PAs, you can appoint from level 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And I think, we also went back and forth in terms of making sure that we correct the appointment from the 3 month period to a period that will be equal to the appointment of both commissioners, which is
immediate effect September up until the end of the commissioner's term. That has been corrected, Chair. And the second thing that we have corrected, Chair, was also the levels. There were negotiations that we went into, and we corrected the levels at which the two PAs were pitched at, Chair. Thank you very much. I think that's the quick report that I want to just give, Chair. On the reasons...
You got to that one. So you are agreeing that you guys misled us. And because you referred your matter on the 31st, when you knew you are coming to the portfolio committee, and then when the portfolio committee, so you must accept where you have faltered. You must learn to correct yourself and apologize if you have misrepresented facts, because it's not correct that when you are here with us and we take resolutions, and Nina, you don't check the resolutions that have been taken in the portfolio committee, and you do things because you are coming to the portfolio committee. That's not right. You see, because you are a governance structure, so that shows that somehow you lack leadership, especially yourself, Chair, and the Deputy Chair, because when we take resolutions as the portfolio committee, yourself, Chair, and the Deputy Chair, you must go back and implement what is required to be implemented. So you owe us an apology as the portfolio committee.
Chairperson, I think as I explained that, first and foremost, Chair, the time that was given to us to implement this was very short, Chair. And when we went back to the institution, we realized that there was more to be done, Chair, than just meets the eye. So it was not just a matter of appointing, but it was just a matter of closing the gaps that we saw internally within our policies and within our instruments and strategies, as well as plans, Chair, which is why it actually took longer. And I must also indicate, Chair, that based on the assessments, yes, the process was finalized just a day before the portfolio committee, unfortunately, Chair, which is why even the appointments had to be made and announcement had to be made on a day before we come to the portfolio committee, Chair. So I think on those bases, Chair, we ran a little bit late than the 2 weeks expected. And I must say that, Chair, we realize that sometimes it's not just as easy, but we do realize, Chair, that the process followed took longer than anticipated, Chair.
So, Chair, what I'm saying, you misled us. Because I've seen those letters of appointment. It was after you were here in the portfolio committee and Commissioner Mazibuko was in Durban, and she even lost her luggage, and we were to assist her when we were doing that oversight in Umthwalume. So what I'm saying, you have misled the committee, because at that day you were saying confidently you have appointed the PA. So what I'm saying to you, that whatever you're saying now, but it took long, it took what, that is irrational for us. Because remember, that decision was taken long time ago, before even we gave you an ultimatum of 2 weeks. So it shows with the sequence of events, when decisions are taken in the portfolio committee, when you leave our meeting, you don't go back as commissioners and assess things that need immediate attention and things that need long-term implementation. So I'm saying to you, you owe us an apology, especially yourself and the Deputy Chair. We do have a legal opinion, but I'm saying now, you owe us an apology. because the next letters that were received by the appointed PAs was around the 20-something of September. So all the facts that were presented before the portfolio committee were all not correct. You see, there's another one of commissioners who have not declared that they are doing other work outside. In the portfolio committee, you presented the report on one commissioner. And what we requested as the portfolio committee is that when we hear us asking you things, you must know that you've got information. That Commissioner so-and-so is doing what? Commissioner so-and-so is doing what? Because remember, there are whistleblowers who write in this information and send them to the office of the chair. So nothing is hidden. You are like us as members of parliament. Whatever you're doing is in public domain. So if other people are writing to me and say, how come that a Commissioner Matebula is doing such a job, but she's appointed as a full-time commissioner? What is happening here? Sometimes we want to cover you, but we need you to assist us also, that you do the right thing. Immediately when we raise issues with you, you must go back and correct and do the right thing. We are not fighting you, but all what we are saying to you is that the good working relationship that we've been having with you is going to be spoiled by yourselves with these Molanyana things. And that's what we want to have with you. We are priding ourselves with the work that you're doing as CGE. So the confidence that we're having with CGE, you can even ask each and every member here, we no longer have that confidence. In fact, myself and Honorable Masiko, we were even saying, because even the committee were saying, the way you allocated budget is not adequate enough. But from the trends and looking at how you do things in the CGE, we are no longer convinced. So all what we're saying is do the right thing before tomorrow we act on what we have received from illegal units. And there's nothing wrong in life when you admit, Uchi, yes, Inla, we presented something without checking, Uchi, this thing was done or not done. Because when I read what you are, I'm listening to you now, that you gave the administrative personnel to action what you are talking about, it tells you, Chairperson, that your facts that you presented in the portfolio committee were not correct. We're not correct. And we don't want to dwell in things that can be done administratively. We want to do with strategic things, policy matters, how you monitor other departments, and how do you advocate for other issues on behalf of women. You know, CDE, most of your commissioners during this time of gender-based violence and femicide, the interventions that you have done as CGE, you know, we are not afraid to tell people that one motivation that we can stand firm as the portfolio committee, that you require more money so that you can be able to do other activities in other projects, it was based on the interventions that you've been doing. Representing women, poor women in court, we've been seeing a commissioner, and even your legal person was there in one of the cases in Springs. And that is appreciated by all of us. So, akumelanga ukuthi into enhle ivalwe izinto ezincane ezimbi. Over to you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the. I don't know whether to say those kinds of words, Chair, but I think in general, as the Commission for Gender Equality, we are really doing our best in terms of monitoring and doing our oversight work out there, Chair. And you're quite correct that these are small administrative issues that sometimes stand on our way in implementing, Chair. I think in future we must improve in the way we do things, Chair, and the process probably taken is a learning curve for all of us, and it will be avoided in future. I think all of us, Chair, in this process, we have quite taken quite a lot of learning in terms of doing things better in future, Chair. So. And we hope that this is not going to happen. We have a policy that is strong and can stand test of time. Should we be faced with another issue like this, even in future appointments of commissioners, as well as staff members, we will make sure that we address the issues as speedily as we can. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, and I want you to respond also to the one reason that was given by the acting CEO to say you are not able to come and present, you are not able to meet your target because you were not called by the portfolio committee. We are saying that's one reason that is not acceptable, because you know for the fact that if there's an issue or there's an item that you want to come and present to Parliament, you have our contact, you have there's nothing stopping you, Chair, of calling me, because previously you used to do that, and I've never stopped you to ask a request for a meeting so that you can come and make a presentation on an item. It doesn't mean you have to wait for us that we invite you to Parliament to come and make a presentation. There are general standard items that are always there according to e-program in Parliament. But also yourself, you've got a responsibility, né, to execute your responsibilities. So we can't be a scapegoat of you not achieving your targets. So this one, it needs you and the Deputy Chair to respond to it, because it's something that is not acceptable by us as the committee. And the manner in which we can't be the ones who are correcting your report. When you send reports, we take it that before you table your report to Parliament, to the Speaker's office, we take it that you have read the report yourself and the Deputy Chair. We can't have a report that it's having errors, which the two of you haven't seen. Because that one is an issue of leadership. So these kind of things, they are not acceptable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I hear you loud and clear, Chair. However, I just need to explain, Chair, that perhaps the acting CEO did not explain in detail what is expected under strategic objective number one. Chairperson, we usually give our targets or CGE targets to actually submit or make submissions on different bills. So you will find that, Chair, sometimes we say out of the four quarters, first quarter we will actually submit or make a submission on particular bills and make two submissions or make four submissions. I think what is missing here, Chair, is that it did not actually clarify clearly that the submissions is for other portfolio committees, not this particular one. And Chair, you are quite correct to say that there is easy access. You are accessible. We can pick up the phone and say there's something that we need to discuss and or call a portfolio committee, and this is something that we need to discuss. But I think on this particular one, Chair, it's about submission of bills, whether in the portfolio committee that is responsible for justice and constitutional development and or a portfolio committee on health, depending, but it's based on various portfolio committees. And I think if I'm wrong, CEO and CFO can correct me. But I think what we left behind was the fact that we did not make enough submissions. So we are lagging behind under quarter one, but we will make sure that before the end of this financial year, we are able to augment on the bills that are supposed to be submitted. I think we made only one submission of a bill, which is the public procurement bill change, to a particular portfolio committee. But I think in future, we need to come back and indicate to you what have we done in terms of augmenting what was not met for quarter one, Chair, whether it's because of COVID-19, but I think we should have a strategy that actually speaks to how we are going to make sure that we cover up on the work that was not done, Chair.
Okay. Let me also give the Deputy Chair, so that both of you, you must Deputy Chair. Deputy Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Deputy Chair is cut out just like myself. I see the our corresponding with her is cut out, and apologies because the electricity and everything is just on us today. I'm back and Deputy Chair is cut out. Thank you.
Who is speaking? Who was speaking? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, we you can continue, acting CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. I will go through the questions as have been asked, and I'll try to ensure that I cover everybody. Chairperson and honourable members, in terms of the monitoring and evaluation plan, the plan alone has been, we've appointed the service provider to help us to draft the plan. However, the tracking tool, there is a tracking tool that we are following that has been drafted, and the Deputy Chair assisted us in drafting that tool. So that tool is being utilized to ensure that our findings and recommendations are implemented and how we then monitor the implementation thereof. So there is a tool that we are working from. In terms of pending cases, just to indicate that when we monitor cases, for example, the one in Springs, it's a case that we will monitor, it's also dependent then on the court and the processes from the court, how long that will take to finalize. However, this is a matter that we have discussed in the last plenary, and we are coming up with a plan on how to deal with the cases that has been pending, and how provinces will then also then be able to liaise with their provincial commissioners relating to these cases.
So this is a plan in working that the department is currently drafting, and we will then submit that to the legal committee for approval. Then, Chair, the next question was in relation to vacancies in the commission. Currently, Chair, there's 10 vacancies. There's the PLO, but there is somebody that's fulfilling the function, but in terms of the organogram, it is vacant. Two legal officers. The IT specialist has been appointed. Provincial administrator in Northwest, office assistant in Northern Cape. The PA to the CEO, provincial manager Northern Cape, a communications administrator, and the provincial manager in Northwest. We then also recently had a resignation for the provincial manager in the Free State. So that one is then added, but that is not part of quarter one. That's part of quarter two.
Are you going to extend your advert, the closure of the closing date on? I think I saw one of our members have sent me an advert. I forgot whether last week, because I was thinking that while Che was saying you now have a new CEO, maybe the CEO will have to be taken on board on the vacancies that you have, and even vacancies of senior managers within your organization, which some of the contracts will be expiring around October. I'm just thinking that logically, and you need to also bring in on board the new CEO, so that you know she must not come in and find you feeling, you know, especially the ones of senior managers and the ones of that you're talking about. And at the end of the day, she cannot be accountable on what was happening and so on. Yeah, it's a point of concern.
My apologies, Chair. Just to indicate that there's been a resolution by the HR and R committee, which we are following through on, to say that the appointment process will not be undertaken until the new CEO commences their duties. And that is also specifically because the provincial managers, where there's vacancies, will then obviously report directly to the new CEO. So those appointments will not be finalized. Just to also indicate that there's no senior management position that's been advertised or vacant currently. So that doesn't affect. However, the provincial managers do report directly to the office of the CEO, and the process is being held in abeyance until the new CEO commences her duties.
Yeah, but the way position in one of the reports, if I'm not mistaken, of senior managers that will be expiring around October, November, if I'm not mistaken. But it's fine. We will double check our information. No, thank you very much for that update. Okay, we can continue. Thank you, CEO.
Thank you, Che. There was a question from Honourable Masuku regarding the outstanding targets for the previous financial year. Just to indicate that the three targets that was not achieved related to strategic objective four, and all three of those targets were then carried over into the new APP. So they are not being lagged behind. We are still giving attention to them. It relates to the knowledge management, the M&E, and the Commissioner's Handbook. All other targets have been met. Strategic objective 1, 2, 3 have been met in full. Strategic objective 4, it's those three targets, but we have carried it over to ensure that there's full implementation of those targets. Then in terms of legal clinics, Chair, as we indicated, we have some trouble with GCIS in terms of procuring some of the slots. So provinces then, out of own accord, then also got their own slots from radio stations. So I think the provinces that lag behind are those that struggled with the community radio stations to give them an opportunity. But I think once we come to report on quarter two, Chair, I think there will be an improvement in that, as there's been quite an effort to foster relations with the community radio stations to ensure that we do get the slot. Then the project, there was a question from Honourable Masiku on where the project on the male circumcision will be held. It's Free State, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Gauteng. Chair, there was a question relating to the HR plan. That was also extensively discussed in the HR and R committee, Chair. We have drafted an annual plan that will be updated annually as a living document. It speaks directly to our five-year strategy, just to ensure that we do implement the strategy and that it can be implemented going along. Chair, in terms of the forced sterilization complaint, there's been a question as to where is the hotspot for that, and that then also links with the with the progress in the matter. Sorry. So the hotspot, Chair, is KZN, Gauteng, and then there's some cases in the Eastern Cape as well. And then, Chair, the department did not respond to us on time. We then placed them in Mora with a time frame to respond to us. They did respond to us. However, the response is not comprehensive enough. So we are engaging with the department, and they've asked for an extension to ensure that they submit comprehensive information to us. So there's continuous engagement with the department to ensure that we continue with this process. Chair, there was a question on why we are only working with two municipalities per province. Chairperson, the previous financial year, each province worked with three municipalities on the same process. So this process is being carried forward in this year. So although it's not a target in the APC, it's part of the implementation and the monitoring to ensure that they implement our recommendations and the information we've given them. So those three municipalities per province are carried over to this year. And this year we are looking at two additional municipalities as well. Chairperson, in terms of assessment of commissioners, I know that the Honourable Member referred it directly to me. Safe to say that the Commissioner's Handbook makes provision that the oversight committees must undergo a process where effectiveness is monitored. So that is part of that. But Chair, just to also indicate that I think the Chairperson will be best suited to respond in terms of how the Commissioners are being assessed and what is the process. And also to indicate that the appointment is not necessarily from Secretariat side, it's from the Presidency and Parliament, Chair.
Okay. The deputy chair can respond to some of the things. Our the chair has been responding since morning.
Chair, then Honourable Sharif made reference to the shelters, and Honourable Member, indeed it's true. We have found shelters where many women were left stranded.
Honourable Sharif, Honourable Mpiti's questions.
I'm sorry, Chair. The questions related to the hotspots, the complaints that I have responded to on the process that we're implementing to try and mitigate, and also then how the commissioners are being assessed and the municipalities. That was Honourable Mpiti's questions, Chair. Sorry, my apologies.
Oh, he had one question.
No, Chair. You referred to the hotspots for the forced sterilization. The complaint that he had a concern, I responded that it linked with the first set of questions that came in. Also on the working with the municipality.
and how commissioners are being assessed. That is what I have for Honourable Mpipi, Chair.
Okay.
Then Chair, Honourable Sharif refer to the shelters, and indeed we do have issues with shelters where women were left stranded in the lockdown period. Honourable Member, just to indicate that we, ACGE, have been actively involved in placing women in distress in shelters, especially during hard lockdown, because we were also essential services. And in provinces, we have really tried very hard, and we've assisted women to enter shelters where it was necessary and where they were refused entry. But there's also links with our systemic investigation into shelters. In the previous two financial years ago, we had a full investigation on shelters, the state of shelters, the protocols they follow. Last year, we had a hearing and a report on the implementation of those recommendations. And this year, that process is still continuing to ensure that the shelters implement the recommendations that the CG has put forward. So it is continuing. Honourable Sharif then also made mention to the sentence on slide 25. Honourable Member, my sincere apologies for that. I think one of the issues that came out in these engagements was to say that many a time women do not work and they are dependent on men as the breadwinner. And they don't have capacity to leave. They don't have the funding to leave. And that is one of the issues that has been raised. But also the unemployment rate and the layoff of people during lockdown also relates to that. I think, you know, from the complaints that I've seen is where men are retrenched, for example, it raises stress levels in the home and it plays out on the woman. The woman has been also affected by this. But Chair, we will, I think what we can do is just maybe give you a full brief in writing in terms of that as well. Chair, in terms of, you indicated the slides on strategic objectives today, and I really have to apologize for that, Chair. It seems like my tables shifted and I didn't see that. I'm really sorry. So if you want, I can give you either a full brief now on all those strategic objectives where it shifted, or I can do in writing, whatever the Chair will prefer. It doesn't matter. I have the information, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, I will make a note. Thank you, Chair. In terms of the ERAP, I can indicate that there's two departments that didn't respond properly to the CGE, Chair. One of them was SAPS, and I'm just looking at my notes where I wrote the other one now. One of them was SAPS and the other one was the Department of Health. But then also to indicate that we did write to them and we did indicate that we will invoke processes without them. The status of that currently is that we are now in the second draft of the report. So the report is almost finalized and getting the information together. Remember, this is what happened in quarter one. And in terms of monitoring of the NSP, this forms part of the APP, which I will report on when I report on SO3 in writing to the committee chair. We then also monitor the implementation of the NSP, which forms part of that. Chair, there's been questions by Honourable Norbo, which relates to the performance of commissioners and consequence managers. Chair, I would rather request the Chair or the Deputy Chair to respond to that, if that is in order, Chair. Chair, I think I've responded to all the questions. Anything that I might have missed, Chair, I undertake to also then report to in writing to the committee, Chair.
Okay, okay, Marissa, thank you. Deputy Chair, are you in? Deputy Chair?
Sorry, Chair, ngalekwe ngemvume yakho ngalekwe ukuthi ngiyakuhlonipha. Kimina kangiphendulanga khona imibuzo engiqondise kuyena ngqo. Lophumayo manje.
Okay. Acting CEO, have you responded to Honorable Kaula's questions? I think, in fact, there was another one that I had Makaula before I got cut off. The one of, is it cutting edge or special assignment? I think she was asking something about that. Whether you have done something as CGE or not. Can other commissioners help us?
Listen, I would appreciate assistance, especially in terms of translation. I didn't hear the language. So I can't respond properly to the questions. I will appreciate if either commissioners can respond, or I can just have an idea of the questions asked, Chairperson. My apologies.
Okay.
Chairperson, Mwiselo here, Chairperson.
Okay, Raposa.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. Umam Kaula, Chairperson, ukhuleka kakhulu about is service delivery mayelana nesikolo. Ngesinye isikhathi mamkhawule and honorable members, inkinga yethu is that ukuthi i-mandate yethu izawuphela kwenye indawo, but what we do thina in the different provinces, like umamkhawula, honorable mamkhawula eshulo in the Eastern Cape, we will then engage on those authorities, but specifically Chairperson and other members on issues that we are of the view that they fall directly within our mandate. So sometimes Chairperson and honorable members, Mam Kaula, iba yinkinga in that you have these clearly defined areas where we can only engage different stakeholders, but as to for us to take them head on, Chairperson, it becomes difficult. So saying shukuti, imibuzo ya Mam Kaula, all of them, the majority of them, they were relating to issues that were specifically dealing with service izindlu, eskolo lapha, ama toilets, ablution facilities that are not up to standard. So I think, Chairperson, I can safely say that our response would be when we do, maybe, like for an example, Chairperson, call the Ministry of Basic Education, Mam Kaula, honorable members, we would then subject them to issues of sexual harassment in the schools, which we think that they fall directly within our purview as the commission. But we will also touch on how conditions that are not conducive for learning and teaching, that we think that, especially, to give an example, in KZN, Mam Kaula, there was an incident where a student, a young girl, was sent back because angaphathanga face mask. And in the process, Mam Kaula, honorable members, she was raped, sexually assaulted, abused. And that's when we would then call the Department of Education and answer and then ask them to account before us, Chairperson and the honorable. So I also, having said that, there were also questions, Chairperson, that relates directly to what do we do in the different provinces. And I want to put my head in the block and say that, and I speak, as I can safely speak, that the majority of all of us as commissioners, we have established a relationship with stakeholders and with government officials, with the different premiers. Because if you, and honorable members, one of our key roles is to make sure that we open doors for secretariat or for the province where we work in, so that these doors, for an example, if I work in Limpopo, I would make sure that, or I've made sure that, like other commissioners, that
the Premier is available to meet with us. The DG is available to meet with us. And different MECs. When they do their oversight, what we do as a commission is to be part of those oversight so that we raise with them issues that we are of concern to us. For an example, if in Limpopo there is a problem with GBV, we would then, together with the office in Limpopo, approach the DG and the relevant MEC, social development, MEC of security in the province, so that we bring to them that, can you act on this? SAPS, can you act on this, Chairperson? So the point I'm making is that honourable members, that directly, if you ask us, one of the core of our duties is to make sure that in the different provinces, we hold the duty bearers accountable, and we do it in various ways. Chairperson, as a commission, whilst there are needs for us, sometimes there are instances where we want to litigate, but we prefer, we are interglose to run to the courts. We believe in persuasion, in engaging the different stakeholders, premiers, MNCs. For us, litigation becomes a last resort for one major reason, and one of the honourable members has mentioned, and you, Chairperson, know, and honourable Masiko had also said this, that we are constrained by our financial situation. So we more rely on persuasion, on engaging the different stakeholders we work with. Having said that, I've written here, Honourable Ngobo had spoken or asked about stakeholders, about police, about the boy child. So, Chairperson and other members, we do, and one has got to say that, we do have a major problem with the SAPS in that, if you look at in my province, in Limpopo, the rate of response is lacking. The action, and those are some of the challenges that some of the other members have spoken about. The time they respond, their engagement, they're not proactive. And there are instances where when you, like, for example, we're doing this study on the response of, illegal initiation schools in the different provinces that you know are hotbeds. For example, Eastern Cape, Limpopo. Now, what has happened is that when I speak with the provincial police commissioner and say that we are doing this research, we want to know what is your approach, how do you deal with illegal initiated schools, you are always then sent back to the national office where you are told that, look, we don't encourage people to do research. We don't encourage people to be on the ground with the different police stations. So, Chairperson and honourable members, what am I saying? I'm saying this afternoon that we also have deep-seated problems with the various government departments that don't respond to either our findings, and I think the chairperson or the deputy chairperson or commissioner Mufuken can talk about, the sterilization that the acting CEO spoke about. Well, you'd sit and find, but why is it that the SAPS had at the top level, in the province, the provincial commissioner becomes the top, the top person to speak to. And there are instances where I would personally engage the provincial commissioner in Limpopo, but then on the ground there is this reluctance.
You, Honourable Bosa, so that I can give other commissioners. I can see the hand of Honour Commissioner Day, and
Chairperson, can I just end by responding to the boy child update from Honourable Ngobo as I end, Chairperson, and to say that previously I reported that we are doing training in all the nine provinces, which will be from the commissioner side, that Commissioner Kakolote and myself and the secretariat would be able to run this training, so that Commissioner Ngobo, we make sure that each and every province has got within the CG offices a program that is specifically focused on working with the boy child and men. But also, next year, as we do our APPs, We also are of the view that we want to situate it so that it becomes a program on its own, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Ngobo. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Day, Commissioner Day.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning. I think it's still good afternoon to Honorable Members. Okay.
Let's give Commissioner Day a chance to respond.
Okay. But before I respond, Mina, if you want to ask me to be strategic, nama APP, ukuthi abantu basemakhaya, abantu basebako Eastern Cape kanjalo kanjalo, bayabafaka ingoba, if bekhuluma ngo non-province, kimina usound lo non-province. Nalento yokuthi ngithi mina, akuyekwe ukuhlala ema-office, akuhanjwe kuye kubantu, ngoba bazolobe bezosiculela la, lento abayisho zi-right. Ngikhuluma lana ngomnqumo municipality. Kuyimanje labo bantu kunabantu abaresho abanamakhesi abanayo yonke into. Othola ukuthi abakwazi bazoshona kuphi amacala abamile. Manje bazolo bebuya bezana bezositemka ngekho. Ngibuza ukuthi kuma-APP, mabeplana bayababala abantu basemakhaya. Ngoba uma ngikhuluma ngabantu base-Eastern Cape, ngikhuluma ngabantu from 1970s. Ibele lami lisamile. Akukhona iyodwa intuthuko ekhona. Baye resho abantu balapha othisha baye bayikhulula ehlathini akukho ngisho amahlazi. Mina ngifuna ukuzwa leyo nto ngoba uyabona le ndaba yetheory Chairperson ibuhlungu and mina nginama-case number bayangifonela abantu emakhaya indaba ama-right awekho. Akufuneki lana sizodlala le nto yomasigcozi ake kukhulunywani abona le nto oyibonayo Chairperson. Yokuhlukunyezwa abantu besifazane ney'ngane ngeke ziphele Chairperson because lathina siyaxoxa kuney'ndawo esingayi kuzona.
Okay ma, ngizwile. Commissioner Day, are you deployed in Eastern Cape by the way?
Yes, I am deployed and I do know, I do have some knowledge of the cases that Honorable Kaula speaks of, but I have knowledge of them from a previous life as an activist and working with the Legal Resources Center in that region. I think that what's important for Honorable Kaula to understand is that when we do engage with the various departments, they do have a right to require and ask us from where in your mandate are you engaging with us? And if we cannot justify that engagement, it often puts us in a position where we're acting outside of our constitutional mandate. So I do take note of your concerns about, you know, this is purely a theoretical or perhaps a legalistic argument and that we do need to engage with people on the ground. And that has been in the works in terms of planning and making sure that even our hearings are in line with understanding what has been done in terms of government departments, making sure that they adhere to court rulings and court judgments. So recently, I have been in conversation with the Office of the Chair, and we're working on, getting a hearing on judgments, how departments have taken the judgments by courts and implemented them. And that is something that has not been done in South Africa. But we do have to be aware that we're not a service provider and our engagement has to be in line with our constitutional mandate. And I think that that's very important. I think that's perhaps where the frustrations lie, is that perhaps the CGE is not engaging in a way that members feel is in line with
Mina ngicela nje avele athule ngesizathu sokuthi mawuthi a Chairperson wena udeploye e-Eastern Cape athi yes ebengayazi la nkinga elapha ya from 70s engasitshela kwenzakalani ilento yama-PPE nje ayaziwa lapha. Laba ngonke lamakhe yena fana ubuya nento asitela yona ngoba uyena kanye sifana simthembile njobe lapha yani ukuthi uzosihlalela kubantu phansi What a use of Tansiben Abando, as a tobacco, and I forgot the Trinena Benzilut. Yanaka wears a stand, let us do another since toilet in a cutting edge, since a good mate in a safe for no while. Yanam Sevens, Wakakazi, corner to corner. I got a wound, we are deep, 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 Puma roulette area. Ingane lapha ziyasemfule no mama bayareishwa lapha yathi ikole lapha ezodaka ayinangusha amawindi azinangusha amaroof akuthisha ingane bayikhulula ehlathini yini lento ayimina ngiyibone lento yabo I must tell you the truth and ibuhlungu lento ukuthi umuntu afunga athi uzosebenzela abantu kodwa egcine nithola abantu abahlupheke ngisaphinde le nkinga ingaka yokuhlukunyezwa kwabantu besifazane ney'ngane ile mnyango ka-government ihlale phansi kwama-office ilibele ukubheka amaphepha azi bazosikhohlisa la thina sama-politician sifuna abantu bakithi ukubabona benomehluko phansi lapha yangitshela kuthephasi nakaze kuyiwe ndawo kufane kuzeki njengangapha kithi ko-greatan komabovini akuyi muntu khona manje banositela akufinish i-radio akukho manje akukho lutho asicela abantu abasikhombisa ukuthanda abantu not abantu abazosifukala abazosikhohlisa otherwise abantu abasho ukuthi bayehlukeka sihambe siya kwi-rural area siyathatha abantu khona abazosebenzela abantu bazohlala kulezi y'khundla zabo ngiyabonga
okay maybe let me make on Commissioner Day.
No, I just wanted to say to Uba Kaula, I understand the frustrations like and I'm mama and Akulebode at Boston John's. So the conditions that you speak of, I have intimate knowledge about. But I do have to reiterate to the committee that there are judgments against the Department of Education that have been made with regards to these very conditions. This is not a new issue. The issue that has been brought about is not something that we can intervene in a way that that is outside of our mandate, unfortunately, because we have to act within the prescripts of the Constitution and our Act. But I do understand that the issues that need to be addressed with regards to the human rights violations, particularly access to education. And I do want to say that, you know, the human rights violations there are something that perhaps would be best suited and be addressed by the South African Human Rights Commission because it is within their mandate broadly. I do also, and that speaks to also my own sort of, I wanted to also intervene and respond to the questions about the lack of reports. This has been something that on my side, I know that I'm one of the commissioners that did not submit a report for the first quarter of this year. I do want the chairperson of the CGE had wanted to handle the matter of confidentiality with respect to my need for confidentiality. But briefly, I wanted to inform the parliament that my mother in last year, December, was diagnosed with cancer. And she has struggled with treatment of cancer. And March this year, I went down to Port Elizabeth to be with her. Subsequently, she was infected with COVID-19. And my whole family, in fact, was infected with COVID-19. And I spent a significant amount of time taking care of my family. In May, I think it was May, my father passed away. And then about 2 weeks later, then my mother followed. So these have been the issues that have been on my table on a personal level and dealing with those.
Commissioner Day, I wanted to stop you because there are other commissioners like Commissioner Rakolote, if I'm not mistaken, who was hospitalized. And there are others. That one I wanted us to deal with it as differently. That at least the chair will write a report and not to get into details because our intention is not to embarrass embarrassed commissioners. All what we want to hear from commissioners is the work that we have done on quarter one. But issues that are relating to personalities and personal issues, we don't want them to be like, we want to expose yourself into to the public like that. So I understand how you feel now. That's why I wanted us to deal with the issues that Honorable Kaula have raised, because even myself, I do watch special assignments and cutting edge, I think. And there are issues that we've seen there several times. But in our engagements with some of your commissioners, we try and make interventions in a different way. So I think, Chair, maybe let's continue to do interventions according to the way we do it, where you will deploy commissioners to deal with certain matters, and then others you will refer them to Human Rights Commission. But I think with the ones that we, Mam Kaula, have raised now, what is proper is for you to engage with Human Rights Commission and ask, get maybe a report on how far have they dealt with the issues that were raised there, so that at least, as honourable members can also say, no, they are being given attention by institutions of participatory democracy, which is yourselves, CGE, Human Rights Commission, but also you must also engage a chair, find a way on how do you engage with a relevant department on these, some of the issues that we are seeing in the media. And maybe let's close it in that way and say to the honourable members, I'm sure with some of the questions that are not responded to, Chairperson, maybe what you can do, you can send them in writing, and if you think some of the issues you need to explain to us, don't hesitate to communicate with me, and we'll see how do we fit you in our program, so that you can be given an opportunity to come and make your presentation. And I think the other thing that I wanted to ask you is whether CGE have made a submission to the Portfolio Committee on Justice in relation to the three bills that are there, that the on gender-based violence. And I see your hand, Chair, and I see Honourable Commissioner Mazibuko. Our time is up, but I want to give you at least 2 minutes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it's not right if we have a portfolio committee and some of our honourables go back not being satisfied. And then interpret for our other honorables. I think I concur with Mam Kaula's concern, but what I've seen is that we are limited, but and we find that kuyasebenzeka Mam Kaula. Ngicela ukuthi wazi kahle ukuthi umthetho uhambe usibambe, kodwa into engakuthembisa yona engiyibonile isebenza ukuthi i-office le-province lase KwaZulu Natal no-commissioner no-deputy nomunye commissioner abasebenza naye sinikiwe ama-commissioners amabili nge-province. Manje ngicela ukuthi wazi ukuthi wonke lama-complaints, zonke lezi zidingo zikhona, kodwa engikubonile kusebenza ukuthi sikhethe indawo esizozama ukuthi sikhathule kakhulu khona,
Kona manje ngasho kahle ukuthi indaba kasiza abantu iphethwe i-commission ye-CRL kodwa thina naba-honorable esinabo abenzi oversight asihlanganeni mina njengoba ngifakwe no-commissioner uMtuli Hlobatla sisebenza kanye nawe kanye no-commissioner uNgcobo kwaZulu Natal bese siza la eGoli eGoli kukhona u-commissioner O'Hara no-commissioner Masibu no-chairperson uNcube Ndaba no-honorable Phelisi lezi zinto zifuna ukuthi yebo ngiyavumelana nawe ukuthi asiphume ema-ofisini kodwa thina siwu-CGE sisebenza sihambe siyotshela amaphoyisa sisebenze no-DSD ukuthi kuma-shelters kunjani sisebenze nomnyango wezempilo ukuthi kunjani kodwa engukuphakamisayo chairperson ukuthi uma Mkhawula ukhuluma iqiniso ukuthi asihlanganeni ngiyagijima honorables phone the chair they phone the deputy chair but where we have to move we move in speed and try to reach the ground. I only would say we do the best to our ability. Mama siyakuzwa sizozama ukuthi sibonakale siyi-CGE. Sibambisane namaphoyisa, sibambisane no-teach, sibambisane futhi nabantwana bamantombazana okufanele ukuthi baphephe. Siqosa kakhulu ukuthi ezinye izinto mhlawumbe ubona ngathi zihamba ngonyawo lwenabo. Sizosebenza kanye nabo-honorable bethu. Maningi amakhesi esiwabonile nge-COVID. Sasukuma sasebenza. Nawe siyakuzwa. Sicela ukuthi usibekezelele ukuthi sihamba sihambe sifike la. La singafinyeleli khona siyabadonsa uzakwethu bamanye ama-department ukuthi hhayi SAPS. Thina njengabantu abakhubazekile sithola ukuthi kunzima kakhulu amaphoyisa wasinaki. Uyafika lapha umama okhubazekile awuboni awuzwa. Akekho nomuntu ongaku-interpretela e-police station. Kusho ukuthi-ke ngoba isikhathi sethu sincane sizoxhumana nama-honorable wethu kuma-province kanti CCGE siyaxolisa sizosebenza ngokuzikhandla kakhulu. Ngiyabonga.
Yeah, let me also appreciate the work that was done by Commissioner Botha in Limpopo. But the Commissioner Botha was failed by the complainant because he's been asking for a meeting with them, and they are the ones who are delaying him, and he always communicates with me. So we can account for the work that you are doing. Over to you, Chair.
Good afternoon. Once more, I'm covered by what Commissioner Mazibuko has said in terms of saying wonke lenkulumo eshiwo ngu-honorable Mamkhawula siyayithatha chair and ama-commissioners adeployiwe Eastern Cape sizoyibheka kanye ne-office lase-Eastern Cape. Uma ifuna ukuthi sibhekane nabanye ama-institutions that are supporting democracy njengo-human rights, sizoyipackage kahle and then we take it to institutions and engage departments on what Honorable Mamkhawula has said. Chairperson, what I wanted to say and perhaps suggest, I think with previous portfolio committee, U-Deputy Chair Peter Agekola, while they were suggesting something ukuthi in between portfolio committees. Chawenza tshingani ikota lize liyophela kanti kunezinto ezinye that we have missed big queen. So besicela ukuthi that process plan that she suggested ukuthi kungaba njani ukuthi if portfolio committee members uma wenza oversight work yawo ama members honorable members asitshele our office office of the chair or individual commissioners in all those provinces. Just let us know that I'm picking up something, and then you can feel free to direct it to the office of the chair or to commissioners in that particular province chair. Ngiyakhumbula ukuthi ngathi sashera nani deployment of commissioners in provinces. So feel free, chair, in between and honorable members, in between a portfolio committee meetings. Just let us know, send us in writing
outside this meeting so that we can pick up issues, run with them immediately, and it's born with itself at this. And I want to also say that Commissioner Mazimbo, you are right. That's what we will do. So let's revisit that plan, Honorable Chengi Akela, this is any so that we can tackle issues as you do your oversight work. Second, I think my 1 minute is gone, but my other minute, the issue of the commissioners not submitting, I will do that in writing. I have a response to that. And in terms of what we have looked at, the commissioner's handbook, Gizoipala, and I will submit that one in writing, Chair. In terms of the relationship with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, we have engaged a chair. We have written a letter. We did write a letter last year wanting a meeting. Sipale enye I letter now. We are asking for a meeting, and I'm glad that there has been an appointment of the DG. And I think we communicated with her in terms of the need, urgent need for us to meet with the squads, what can we do to work together with the women. So we are expecting that we are meeting a chair to take place before the 16 days of the I think that's what we do. But the rest of the questions, Chair, I will make sure that I submit.
Because most of us have been experiencing network problems.
Sorry, Chair. I think my last submission was that, Chair, we will respond on all questions that were not answered or responded to in writing. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Maluleke, you can finish and close the meeting. It's fine. I have a network problem. Okay, due to a network problem, I think our cutoff by network. So maybe honourable members just agree that questions that have not been answered, the CPE will then submit them in writing where we feel that they need to make an oral representation. Then we will invite them to a meeting. But we thank you very much for your attendance. I didn't hear any question about your financials. I don't know whether it's because there was no fruitless and what was. You even had the change from what was allocated to you yourself. But thank you very much, honorable members. We'll liaise with you, Chair and the Deputy Chair, in absentia, because I haven't been seeing her since she got cut off. But at least you can communicate with her, Chairperson, on the things that we were talking about. And the follow-ups that need to be done, we are expecting you to do so. And just update us on the M&E and the strategic plan, because what we have raised is that you have capacity yourself. Among your commissioners, you do have capacity. And I think with the sterilization report, which was presented by Commissioner Daleng. Maybe we'll want a written progress report so that we can hear from her side, because even from our side, we have tried to secure a meeting with the Portfolio Committee of Health. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think we have come to the end of our meeting. And yeah, other things that we haven't touched on, I think we will continue next time in our next meeting. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and bye-bye.
Thank you, Chairperson.